much about.
Now we're rolling.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G. Ah! Woo!
Are you sexually attracted to young boys, to underage boys?
I can't wait to see your penis.
Jokes are fun and funny, but when they're at the expense of someone, they're just mean. Like, I don't joke about people like that because it's just mean and it's malicious.
Are you a pedophile?
Steak in the morning.
Looks like he's got a boner.
This is not a very nice show.
You know, no, I enjoy young people.
Christians don't do that, people. You're supposed to be nice, and I have really bad bug bites.
And now.
It seems like it would be a natural reaction because other people have treated you like your life, like you're incredibly, you know, great, and your life is great, and you must have. And they all treat you differently than they do normal people. How do you keep your head about
them? That sounds fantastic.
Our feature presentation.
I might sue you guys for editing that so I sound dumb.
Yeah, that's what we do.
You know?
That's what we do indeed.
About hey. Had it.
Hey, no wonder Duff McKagan never wanted to come on our show again. He hung up and he started screaming at his publicist, "Hey, I didn't say I was doing high school radio, okay?"
Dude, he answered the question immediately. He understood it.
Well, he's a better man than I.
He's had drugs. That's why. People who have had drinking or drug problems speak Kevin,
they speak Kevin.
Perfectly well.
There's a new band out, by the way, that my little friend Mats Hagbeck in Finland turned me on to called Nuns and Moses. Apparently, they're very good, so I got to check them out.
Nuns and Moses.
Yes.
All right.
We're talking about Duff McKagan.
Yeah.
So the tie-in there. He was in Guns N' Roses. It sounds like...
Wow.
We went
Thank
from Guns
you.
N' Roses. Hey, there's a band called Nuns and Moses. I just thought that's a great band name. That's
so awesome. Didn't follow that.
Wow.
Okay.
I'm sorry. I thought we were all talking about Duff McKagan. I didn't.
We were.
Barely, though.
Just barely. Hey, barely. We were talking about my incompetence. Really.
Right. And how he screamed at his publicist that he's not going to do high school radio. And then you said he had a lot of drugs and alcohol.
You went right to your friend and
Well, I want to give him credit. Credit for the name.
Sure.
That's all.
Nuns and Moses.
Okay. All right. Let's move on. You're going to love this story today, you guys. It comes out of Phoenix, Channel 5 in Phoenix, Kevin. It's no secret teenagers sometimes experiment with alcohol, even drugs, but new ways they are finding to get drunk had jaws dropping in our newsroom.
Oh, no. Is this another thing where they put it in their eyes? Or they...
A quicker high? They think it's going to last longer. It's more intense, said Dr. Dan Kwan from the Maricopa Medical Center. It's not isolated to any school, any city, any financial area, said Officer Chris Thomas. This is everywhere. Ladies and gentlemen, we are now once again talking about vodka tampons. They are back in the news.
Oh,
vodka
no.
tampons, ladies and gentlemen.
Come on.
There have been documented cases of people going to the hospital with alcohol poisoning from utilizing vodka tampons. They soak a tampon in vodka and then use
right.
them. It absorbs directly into the bloodstream.
Mm-hmm.
There's no barrier, no stomach acid to prevent it. So as you can imagine, it is a very quick return on your investment.
But I'm going to say again on that quick return on your investment, vodka works pretty quickly.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
It's not like you drink it and then for an hour you're like, sure wish that would kick in.
It's definitely not just the girls, said the officer. Guys also use the tampons and insert them in their rectums.
Wow, are you stupid.
Using beer bongs rectally apparently is very hot at parties now, too, where you don't put the beer bong in your mouth as much as you put it in your butt.
Yeah.
That's called butt chugging. That is also on the rise.
I saw butt chugging last night at the Troub.
Were they with Nuns and Moses?
No. Nope.
Well, the article goes on with all sorts of medical advice to not use it, talking about how it in your vagina, it causes mucosal irritation. They also talk about how there's no gag reflex. It isn't going down the hatch, so you don't have any telltale signs that you've had too much to drink, so you won't throw up if you get alcohol poisoning. Sometimes you can pass out before you even know how drunk you are because, you know, all the systems that are in place that tell your body, hey, this is bad for me, are gone. So
well, that is a fun time.
Look,
you can actually pass out before you know you're drunk.
Yeah, what's the point of that?
Just bypass the whole damn
hey,
thing.
Isn't the drunk part the fun part?
I guess they're just going for the pass out part.
I would think so, but they also caution that if a person passes out or loses consciousness, a EMT won't necessarily know that they have to look in those areas, and that could delay treatment. So there's all sorts of trouble here. But
look, this is going to be controversial, I know, but you know, we just hit the 7 billion mark for people in the world.
I see.
We may have too many people.
As Ralph says, occasionally thin the herd.
Yeah.
And I say we don't even warn these people. I mean, honestly, a person that's doing that is helping us how? Go ahead. Go ahead, do it.
Well,
I wonder if you absorb less calories that way.
You think that's what it is?
You know how
a
girls
weight loss
are.
Program?
Well,
for...
drink as much as you want and don't gain weight. I don't know. Just wonder.
So vodka tampons and butt chugging. That's what's happening right there.
These parties look very different than the ones I went to in college, I have to say.
Mugs, we're going to have to try that. You know.
Nope.
You know we're going to have to try that.
Oh, that would be awesome to have mugs try. The only other caution I'll give you from the article, it says that there's no, I mean, I mentioned how you don't feel it the way you would if you drank the same amount, but there's no kind of guide at all. So it's really easy to put too much in.
Sure.
You know, that's the danger is you, I guess, theoretically could die from it. So
you probably do as much as what you think you drink.
Seriously, right, the danger is death.
So let's have mugs do it. I'm agreeing with you. Okay. Yes, right. We should definitely have mugs do it.
All right. And just check with them, you know.
Well, and then we could tell people medically how much really they should be doing.
Right. Yeah, there you go.
We need guidelines. We don't need a yes or no answer. Right. We need guidelines.
Okay. I'm in. Let's set that up for tomorrow. I love it.
One shot per hour. That's it.
I love it. We'll try them both. We'll try the butt chugging and we'll try the vodka tampon. We'll do it both.
Which one's
more effective.
I am always fascinated by, you know, that had to come from somebody's mind once first. The first person that did it had to go, you know, we should try.
Right.
I'm always fascinated by what that party must have been like.
In a hurry.
Because clearly they're drunk when they come up with it. And then everybody else goes, yeah, that'd probably work. It'd be awesome to have video of that.
You can only get so drunk and then you pass out.
Yep. Yep.
Yeah. That seems bad on every level. But the only side effect is death. So you got that.
Yeah, true.
You got that working for you. Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
Bad idea.
On today's program, speaking of bad ideas, we are having in the creator of Ashley Madison.
Yeah.
Ooh, yeah.
He seems to be pricking some people the wrong way.
I think he enjoys it.
This is the dude who helps you set up ways to cheat and is right out front about it. He just says, cheat, people. Here's a service. You married? You want to cheat? Here's a service. I'll help you out. So we're going to have him in. We're going to take some phone calls from some of you that love, love, love him. Because the people love him. We have Jimmy Kimmel on the program today.
Yeah.
He's doing his National Unfriend Day. We're going to talk to him about that. He's also hosting the White House Correspondents' Dinner.
That's amazing.
That is amazing. That's quite an honor.
It's
doing
an honor.
Material for the president.
It's an honor. And it's also a, hey, what are they thinking?
Right.
Do they not know who they're dealing with? He's not the guy necessarily you want doing that.
And since the last time we had him on, he's been on Sesame Street, too.
Yeah.
I mean, that's unbelievable.
Yeah, I've never gotten over the, hey, wait a minute, that's just Jimmy. What's he doing in fill in the blank?
Right, hosting the American Music Awards or whatever he's doing, it's still Jimmy, right.
We also have the, we're a little bit of animal voice coming up today. We have a brand new internet roundup.
Mm-hmm.
We have Dr. Drew.
Oh, it's a good one. It's a good internet roundup today, too.
Yes, it is. We have Dr. Drew.
Finally,
the program today.
Have time to talk to him.
Talk to him about Life Changers and what a fantastic show that's become. And why do people hate Prius owners?
Lisa.
Hey.
Why do people hate Prius owners?
I don't know why they do, but they do. I'm getting hate for being in an accident at which I was stopped.
Like Prius owners do.
Yeah, Prius owners. Damn
you. You
stopped behind a car that stopped. How dare you? You're a terrible driver.
Were you
driver.
Stopped on the freeway?
No.
I'm just checking.
Were you stopped in a Prius?
Yes.
Well, that was probably your fault.
Your fault. Seems to be a lot of hatred for Prius owners, and I'm not exactly sure why.
I don't know why.
My guess would be because you feel like you're being judged because they're better than you because they care about the environment?
Well, that is true.
There you go.
I can't help that.
All right.
Doing yourself a real favor here, Lisa.
Lisa just answered the question.
I think that's obvious.
She just answered the question. We didn't even have to do the phone-in topic. So that's coming up today as well. We'll take a quick break, and we will come back with the Ralph Showbiz Beat next.
My impression from my email yesterday is that everyone who wanted to get tickets for night number one of the K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas was able to get them.
Yeah, it's weird this year. Everyone who tried to buy them got them.
Yeah, so apparently it was easy. And apparently it'll be just as easy tomorrow at 10 a.m. when tickets go on sale for night number two. That's the show just announced with the Black Keys, Cage the Elephant, Death Cab for Cutie, Florence and the Machine, Foster the People, Group Love, Jane's Addiction, Mumford & Sons, The Naked and the Famous, and a young man named Noel Gallagher with his high-flying birds. Tickets on sale tomorrow at 10. All the details at krock.com. Hey, Ralph Garman.
Sarcasm alert, sarcasm alert, sarcasm alert. I only say that because,
I know.
Bean every year makes that joke, and it's a good joke, but invariably there will be emails saying, what are you talking about? I tried to get tickets and I couldn't get tickets. You guys are lying. Not everyone who wanted to get tickets could get them.
Yeah,
there were some
point.
People who take it literally.
They're right now typing an email. Just stop.
So we're saying
it's okay,
acknowledging the fact that that was some humor.
It's a joke.
And we recognize that not all of you got tickets. And we apologize. We wish we could make more. In fact, I am making more at home. I'm printing doubles and triples of tickets for seats that are already sold, and I will be selling those. So you will get tickets.
The good news
is,
though,
you won't have a seat when you get to the venue.
Right. That's your problem, though.
That's right.
The good news is we do have tickets to give away starting Monday.
Yes.
We will give you the chance to win them for both nights. So just because you weren't able to buy them yesterday doesn't mean you're out.
Don't give up hope is what we're saying.
Exactly.
Correct.
Keep hope alive.
Keep hope alive. Stand with the Withers. What are the Withers, Reverend Jackson? I have no idea.
I don't know.
All right. Let's talk showbiz news, shall we? Congratulations to Connie Britton. A Friday Night Lights, an American Horror Story. She just adopted a 9-month-old baby from Ethiopia.
Wow.
Oh, they make good babies in Ethiopia.
They do.
It's like the ShamWow in Germany. The baby's name is Eob.
Eob.
That's right.
Right.
Eob. E-Y-O-B. Eob. Eob Britton.
Why can't she find a man, Ralph? Do we know?
I do not know, sir. Maybe she has a man, but now she has a baby.
Okay.
In fact, Connie's been in this process for 3 years for the adoption process. They make it hard to adopt a baby. Make it so easy to have one and so hard to adopt one.
And shouldn't it be really easy to adopt a baby? I don't mean really easy, meaning there's no, you know, there's not a vigorous background check.
Right.
But I mean, people who qualify should be able to do it fairly quickly in the best interest of everyone involved.
Right. They certainly shouldn't stand in your way. They shouldn't create unnecessary red tape to keep you from adopting a baby when so many babies are in desperate need of adoption.
Exactly.
So, while we're talking about American Horror Story, Dylan McDermott, her co-star in that TV series, is proud to announce he's become a homosexual icon since performing on American Horror Story.
Is that right?
He tells The Advocate magazine that he's getting hit on by more gay men than ever in the history of his life.
Wow.
He says he finds it somewhat flattering and says he's cool with everyone, so he doesn't mind it at all. Apparently, it's because he shows more ass on that series than a proctology video.
Yeah.
He is naked on that show quite a bit.
That does seem to happen a lot.
But I'll tell you something. He's 50 years old, and he is ripped. He looks great.
He really does.
Except when he's standing by the drafting table. I don't need to see that scene ever again in a TV series. Him crying and expressing himself. Congratulations to Bradley Cooper while we're talking about hot men. He just nabbed People Magazine's title of Sexiest Man Alive for 2011. Congratulations, Bradley Cooper, you sexy bastard. Here's a list of contenders who apparently did not make the cut this year. Liam Hemsworth. Oh, that's a
ugly
man right there. That's Thor, you know.
Yeah.
Oh, I love that Thor. Idris Elba. Oh, he is some chocolatey goodness right there. Idris Elba played Luther in the BBC series. You've seen him. He was he's in the Wire, the Oz. Where was he? Damn.
I don't know.
If you saw him, you'd know him. Very talented and good looking fella.
He was the one who was the husband caught between the two girls in that movie with Beyonce.
Yeah. He was also in The Office too. Remember he played the temporary manager there on The Office. Very funny guy. Jennifer Aniston's new man Justin Theroux. He doesn't count people. No one knows who he is. Chris Evans, Captain America. A lot of superheroes on the list.
Sure.
Tim McGraw, country singer Tim McGraw.
Hmm. He's considered very, very hunky. He's the one married to Faith Hill. Yeah.
Take it easy.
I thought we were asking about
it. We are, but very, very hunky.
Josh Charles from The Good Wife.
Mm-hmm.
Jason Momoa from Game of Thrones and Conan. Ryan Gosling. I thought for sure he was going to win this year. I thought it was a slam dunk.
You would think.
Alec Baldwin. Dylan McDermott, the aforementioned Dylan McDermott. And our buddy Joel McHale made the list.
Nope.
Didn't win, but he made the list.
No.
That's quite an achievement.
He does take his shirt off a lot on
handsome.
Community.
Yeah, he is.
He's
built too. Yeah.
But this is Sexiest Man Alive.
Yeah, that's
come
true.
On.
Who are we kidding? She's back. Rebecca Black has a new single dropping this week.
All right.
You remember Rebecca Black? She gave us
Friday, Friday, Friday.
Best song ever.
And then she had her follow-up single with Live Your Dreams and Don't Let People Tell You You're Bad. Good, that single.
No. It's Friday,
yeah, this is her.
Friday, gotta get down on Friday. Everybody's looking forward to the weekend, weekend.
Do we know the name of the song yet?
I always said she sounded like the special needs girl who works at the McDonald's near my house.
Can I get your name, please?
Most annoying voice in the world.
Could be.
Person of Interest is the name of the new single.
Odd.
Yes. Has nothing to do with the TV program of the same name. But there's new video online, so if you want to check out Person of Interest, I do not recommend it. It is not good. And we mentioned this week that Billy Crystal is back to host the Oscars, and his official now Ricky Gervais will be returning to the Golden Globes as well.
Yay!
Fantastic.
We'll be on stage January 15th when the Globes unload their suggestions for best films and TV shows of the year, so make sure to check that out. You will not be disappointed.
I think the Oscars should have swept in before the Golden Globes got them and hired Ricky Gervais themselves.
Not a good choice. Would never happen.
Yeah, I don't think it's even possible because...
Should, though,
he
is
makes
what I'm saying.
Fun of the contestants.
Golden Globes is a boozy,
right.
Untied, sort of relaxed
which
party.
Which is why it's so much better television
Agreed.
Than the Oscars.
Agreed.
That's why I'm saying the Oscars should have done that.
Yeah,
they should start making some changes
Oscars
to make the Oscars
worried
better.
Worried about making a good TV show for you at home. The Oscars is concerned with the Oscars.
They take themselves very seriously.
And it would be a bad choice for them to
I
take
agree
Ricky
with
Gervais.
Bean. It would be a great choice, but they would
it
never
would make better
do it.
Television, but it would, it's not for the Oscars.
Never do it.
No.
And they should.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Only talented and beautiful people on this list. What are the odds? I guess November 17th is a day where people who are born on that day are either super talented or super beautiful.
Okay.
Well, you're going to have to convince me of this because the guy I know is a douche. So what do you got?
I got Rachel McAdams, actress McAdams.
Hard to argue
with
that.
33 years old today. Actress Leslie Bibb from Popular and ER.
Come on with the come on.
38 Good. Years old today. Remember Sophie Marceau from Braveheart
yes,
and many
I
other
do.
Films? She's 45 years old today. Actor Dylan Walsh from Nip Tuck.
He's good.
And he's on a show right now, I think. Unforgettable, I believe he's on. He is 48 years old today. RuPaul. RuPaul is a beautiful,
oh, yes.
beautiful man.
Yes.
I want a bell for RuPaul. He is hot.
You are not getting a bell.
Ring the bell.
No, you don't
RuPaul
get a,
is hot.
You don't get a bell
If you
for
saw
RuPaul.
RuPaul and you didn't know it was a dude, we say, damn, that is a tall drink of chocolate milk right there.
I don't think so, no.
I would say so in a heartbeat. He is 51 years old. Actor-director Danny DeVito celebrates his 67th birthday.
Another good-looking man. Why isn't he in the sexiest
Super
man
talented.
List?
Super talented.
That's why Ralph brought in talented.
Lorne Michaels, creator of Saturday Night Live, 67 years old. He's not talented? Oh, he's not talented? Hey, I'm talking to you.
I don't know. Have you watched Saturday Night Live in 30
he
years?
He created one of the longest-running, most successful
Agreed.
TV shows
Have
in the world.
Have you watched it in 30 years?
Well, he doesn't write the show. He doesn't perform the show. He created the show. Give him a break. Martin Scorsese, how about him? Movie director
wow.
Martin Scorsese, heard of him?
Wow.
Heard of him? Hey, I'm talking to you.
Oh, yes. I didn't realize you wanted
Kevin
to answer.
Kevin nods his head on the radio. He's not quite down with the whole concept of this.
People can't hear my head?
No, they can't.
Nodding?
Well, your head, oddly enough, they can hear the wind whooshing around it as it moves through the air. 69 years old today. Singer Gordon Lightfoot, of course, gave us the wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald, is 73 years old today.
I'm in. You got me.
Isaac Hansen of Hansen, the Hansen brothers. Both now beautiful and talented right there.
He's not the girl, right? He's not the drummer.
I have no idea. He is 31 years old today.
And that's it.
And
that's all of them.
And also my brother.
Whatever, douche.
Hey. Ralph Garman, ladies and gentlemen. Ralph Garman celebrated his birthday today. This is why he's talking
it's
up.
Bobby.
And Bobby's birthday.
Talking up today. November 17th. Happy birthday, Ralph.
Just the best birthday in the world to have. That's all I'm saying. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
On Dr. Drew's Life Changers today on the CW, he has a two-part special on the Bunny Ranch, Kevin.
Love it.
Yeah, with Dennis Hoff from the Bunny Ranch, the Moonlight Bunny Ranch in Nevada. And Dr. Drew will be joining us next hour to discuss all things in Judge Drudy's life coming up here on Kevin Beecham. First, though, what if we were to spin the wheel of bad animal voices? What would our choices be today?
Our choices would be Kittler, the cat that looks like Hitler, which I...
Oh, I love Kittler so much. I hope it lands on
we
that.
We really need to get to that one. The dumpster-diving hobo bear, mm-hmm. the fossil-eating worms... Charlie, okay. the crime-fighting parrot, the cat with two faces, the surfing goat, the albino cyclops shark.
Boo, the cutest dog in the world's a mistake. Let me take that off.
No, Boo, it could land on Boo. I'd like to talk to Boo.
I know you would. Larry the cat, the failure official British mouse catcher, the shunned brown seal, and the beer-drinking goat. So those are the stories. We have all of those animal stories. We spin the wheel, and then we find out some more information about one of them.
It's time for the Wheel of Bad Animal Voices. Where do you think it's gonna land?
Don't know.
It's gonna be pretty bad, but Kevin and me don't care, so we'll do it anyway. It's time for the Wheel of Bad Animal Voices.
All right, very exciting. Let her rip.
Come on.
After you do that, go ahead and spin the wheel.
Kindler, woo!
Oh, that one felt good right there.
That was good. Yeah, good effort there.
That was a good spin, if I say so myself. Ladies and gentlemen, it is the cat at number 10 Downing Street that's failed to catch mice.
Oh, what's going on with our little friend Larry the cat?
It's a huge scandal right now, people. British Prime Minister David Cameron is apparently resisting calls that are coming from everywhere for the resignation of the 10 Downing Street's official mouse catcher, Larry.
Now, I guess the problem has been that rats have been seen at the Prime Minister's residence. So they rescued a cat, and the job of the cat, of course, is to catch the rats. And he's not been doing a good enough job. I guess he's caught three so far, but they still have a rat problem. So, you know, the angry British public are like, hey, what are we paying for here?
Right.
Either get a cat and catch a rat, or get rid of this one and find one who will, right?
We need the cat to step down. It's a major, major problem in England.
Well,
so we figured we'd get the cat on the phone and just find out exactly what's going on.
All right.
At 10 Downing Street. Hello.
Hello.
Is this Larry?
Yes, this is Larry.
Hi, Larry.
Hello, how are you?
Tough times, huh?
Difficult times here. Say what? Typical times here on 10 Downing Street. I've been more chipper, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Yes. Well, there's a lot of pressure on you. I mean, it's an old building in an old part of London. I'm sure there's a rat problem, and you're just one cat, right?
I like to believe I do what I can for the sake of the empire.
Apparently the people are rising up against you and saying you're not doing a good enough job.
Well, there are many rats to be dealt with.
Right.
And
right.
I am but one cat.
But you've only caught three.
Never have so many.
Yeah.
Owed so much to so few. And yet there I am, responsible for every rat at 10 Downing Street. And if the blasted media hadn't caught that one traipsing through the ante room, I believe I'd still be in employment.
Well, that was the problem, is they saw it on TV and everybody went, hey, what about Larry?
Yes, what about Larry indeed?
Why
and first of all, it's Lawrence.
Lawrence, I'm sorry.
Oh, Lawrence, I'm sorry.
The story said Larry. I apologize.
Well, that's the Rupert Murdoch-run media for you.
I see.
Okay.
Lawrence.
Reducing everything to the lowest common denominator, in my opinion.
Okay. Well, Lawrence, what are you going to do? I mean, you sound like a very smart cat. Obviously, I'm surprised the article doesn't mention you do speak perfect English, but you're proud of yourself. You're proud of the job that you're doing. I'm sure that it's very shameful for you. Are you going to resign, or are you just going to bear down and catch more mice?
I no longer can bear the embarrassment of failing my duties, not only for the empire, but for Prime Minister Cameron as well.
Is that right?
And so I feel I must take it upon myself to tender my letter of resignation, which I was in the middle of drafting when you interrupted me with this blasted phone call.
Oh, go ahead. I apologize. We didn't mean to.
Dear Minister Cameron.
And he can type, too.
It is a great. I'm in the middle of writing, sir.
Very sorry. Go ahead. Yes.
Very quickly.
It is with great regret that I must tender my resignation as official mouse catcher at 10 Downing Street.
Oh, this is a sad day right here.
It is a sad day right here.
No, you don't have to type what I say.
I'm trying to write.
Okay, I'm sorry.
I'm talking in my ear.
Go ahead.
Listen, I'm a cat. This isn't easy, okay?
That's true.
Where was I? It's very sad for me to have to tell you I no longer will be able to catch rats with my mouth for you. You stupid, bleeding wanker.
Whoa, hey.
Why don't you crawl around on your hands and knees and chase rats and then catch them in your mouth? Do you have any idea what a rat tastes like? Well, I bet it's a sight better than your pimply buttocks.
Wow.
You loser.
Why?
No one likes you, and you think my resignation's being called for? Wait until you drive the economy of dear old England deeper into the ground and they call for you and they show up with torches and knives.
Torches and knives?
Yes.
No weapons, no guns, nothing else?
There's not a lot of guns in England
because
we have severe gun control
That's
here.
That's true, yeah. All
but right. then, of course, you knew that because you are Prime Minister
Prime
David
Minister,
Cameron.
Right.
That's correct,
exactly.
Yes.
All right, well, I guess you told him, Lawrence.
All right, I might need a quick edit on this.
Yeah, perhaps. Yeah. Why am I looking at Lady Gaga's sperm hat?
I can't answer that.
Why is that happening?
I don't know the answer to that.
Okay.
You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show here on a Thursday. Tickets go on sale tomorrow at the end of our show, 10 a.m. Friday, for K-Rock Street Team members if you want to buy tickets for night number two of the 22nd annual K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas Concert. Details at krock.com. Don't you know? Hey, how about a brand new internet roundup?
Click that mouse and open your browser. Pull up your shirt and drop them trousers. We've got shots that need your viewing. Life's so hard that you'll start spewing. Kevin and Bean's internet roundup.
A lot of good stuff up there. You go to krock.com or the Kevin and Bean page, and you can find the internet roundup. All of these videos are in one place. I love the man on the street interviews when they're talking to them about a crime that they witnessed.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
especially
the best.
This dude. He's a coonskin cap. He's wearing a coonskin cap, which really that says South more than anything, right?
Sure.
Sounds racist to me, dude.
And he's giving him an account of exactly what happened.
He came in Dukes of Hazzard, getting it, digging like that, like Dale Jr., and then hooked up and shot forward. And when he hooked up and shot forward, that's when he came and hit.
Love it. Love that guy so much.
How rarely do you see a guy walking around with a raccoon pelt on his head?
Never. Never. Comes in on like Dale Jr. I love that guy so much. Remember Herman Cain, who ran which pizza?
Godfather's.
Godfather's Pizza. He's saying, imagine all the pizza.
Yeah, back in the early 90s, he was doing something for his team, and he went out there on stage at a big company-wide presentation and sang Imagine All the Pizza to the tune of John Lennon's Imagine. And, you know, it's become popular now that he's one of the frontrunners for the Republican nomination for president.
Well, Mike Tyson does a version of it dressed up. Dressed up like Rick Perry. I mean, really, like, he's got a pipe and everything. And he's singing Imagine All the Pizza.
Imagine a world with no pizza.
And he can't sing, by the way.
Imagine a place it will be.
Oh, man.
No one will tell him.
A bunch of people looking at a wreck.
Wow.
It's really bizarre.
Oh, my God.
Bean played you some clips, I think, was it yesterday or the day before, about Rick Perry's epic fail when he was on stage?
It was about a week ago.
They're having a debate. And he was going to close down three branches of government or three parts of the government. Mm-hmm. He couldn't think of the third one. Who's been there more than me? But to fail like that in front of so many people is awesome.
Three agencies of government when I get there that are gone. Commerce, education, and the what's the third one there? Let's see.
We need five.
Oh, five. Yeah, okay. So five. Commerce, education, and I can't. The third one, I can't. Sorry. Oops.
Awesome.
Oops is the best.
The Daily Show went to town on that. It was so funny.
He's only closing three of them. I mean, let's be honest. That's a Kevin mistake right there. This guy wants to be president.
Yeah.
I think that they recommend that you should know your own talking points before you get in front of a microphone if you're running for president.
And I'm also guessing that this is not what you want to hear from a presidential candidate.
Oops.
Although I love him for it. That makes me like him more.
Oh, was that the red button?
Oops.
That's
what he said. Oops.
Yeah.
Yeah. Then, of course, there's a dubstep remix. They used Skrillex's Scary Monsters and Nice Sprite.
What's the third one there? What's the third one there? The third agency of government, I would do. What's the third one there? I can't.
Yeah, you know, it's not real until there's been a remix.
Absolutely.
Leonardo DiCaprio in the trailer for J. Edgar. And this is a parody of him saying that he's trying to do this role so that he could win an Oscar.
Funny or Die did a magnificent job editing this together. And, you know, you do get the impression, I don't know that that's true in this case. He probably just reacted well to the material. But you do get the impression that sometimes actors choose roles. Okay, I need to win an Oscar. I'm good enough to win an Oscar. What can I find that the Academy will love? And this movie seems to hit every single beat. I mean, they love the historical dramas. They love the accents. They love when you have to age a lot of years. And they put it together to make it look like that's what the whole thing's about.
Yeah, and it's the exact same video. They didn't change the video at all, but they changed the audio.
Leo, you will rise to be an Academy Award-winning actor.
It is my belief that when a man wants to win an Oscar, he must so conduct himself with an exaggerated accent as to eliminate any possibility of criticism as to his acting.
So then they do the whole trailer and recreate it that way. Here's a couple that are using the new iPhone 4S Siri to have an argument back and forth.
Excellent. Tell my wife I'm going to be 30 minutes late.
Tell my husband I'm not surprised.
Tell my wife if she has a problem with my work schedule, she's more than welcome to get a job of her own.
Tell my husband that I do just as much work as he does.
Tell my wife that if watching Ellen is a job, she should get a promotion.
Message from your husband. I appreciate you.
Well, what did he actually say?
Please don't drag me into this.
Siri, call my husband.
Siri, ignore the call from my bitch wife.
Okay, poor Siri stuck in the middle of that. That's sad.
We found a new video. Bean actually pointed it out to us. Bean, the one guy who likes country music on this show, pointed out Toby Keith's red solo cup. And we're going to have to go through this in a little more detail a little bit later on this morning. But it's about a red solo cup. Anybody that's been in college and has had a party, you know.
Red solo cup. I lift you up. Proceed to party. Proceed to party.
This is a real song.
Wow. So it's a song about the cup that you drink out of at a party. That's what they wrote a song about.
And at one point he says, not blue or yellow. Gotta be red.
Now I really love how you're easy to stack. But I really hate how you're easy to crack. Cause when beer runs down in front of my back, well, that, my friends, is quite yucky.
Yeah, it's...
How is that a song?
It really... You think you would find that on Funny or Die, right? A guy singing about a cup that you drink beer out of.
This is going to be on an album?
It is on an album.
It is on an album?
Toby Keith's latest, yeah.
Toby Keith is, Bean, correct me if I'm wrong, one of the biggest country artists out there.
He sure is.
Crazy. Jimmy Fallon on his show likes to do the singing parodies. This is The Doors. And Jimmy Fallon, of course, is singing Reading Rainbow.
Butterfly in the sky. I can go twice as high. Take a look. It's in a book. A reading rainbow.
He's pretty good at that.
Really
he does
good.
A great job. I mean, he just did a Bieber one about a week and a half ago or so. And I mean, he gets the look down, the voice down, the dance down. Really, really strong, Morrison.
Jimmy Kimmel, we're going to talk to you later on today about his National Unfriend Day. On Facebook, he says, once a year, you should go through and cut out a lot of the people who really aren't your friends.
Yeah.
And he had the band War, you may not recognize them, but from the 70s, I want to say, doing a song called Why Can't We Unfriend?
When I accepted your friend request, I didn't know you'd be such a pest. Why can't we unfriend? Why can't we unfriend?
So that's not enough. Now he does a Charlie Brown skit where you actually see Charlie Brown, you see the characters, and then these are the words.
I'm unfriending you, Charlie Brown.
You're what?
It's National Unfriend Day, the day where each and every one of us eliminates all of our stupid and annoying Facebook friends.
You think I'm annoying? You post 100 pictures of your stupid blanket.
Then you should unfriend me. It's your civic duty.
Good grief.
Come on.
Aww, I hate to see Linus and Charlie Brown not getting along.
Come on. And here's the great reporter send-off. Now, this is a dumb reporter because all reporters should know the camera's still rolling. Whatever you're saying is going to go on TV, especially if it's bad. So she stops her piece. She pauses for like two beats. And then she says,
Joyce Evans for the Channel 6 10 o'clock news. We getting out of this joint.
F, we getting out of this joint. She's Joyce 7 o'clock news. F, we getting out of this joint.
That's the best.
The only thing she didn't say was,
oops.
So go to KevinandBean.com or KRock.com for the Internet Roundup.
Kevin and Bean's Internet Roundup.
Did we lose the monkey? Is Kevin gone?
No, he's here. He's back.
We're all here. We're all here. Everybody's here.
We're all here. Everything's good.
We're all here.
There you go. Now we got microphones and everything. Hey, I'm on
the birthday party in the other room.
Yeah. I'm on the I Hate Prius Owners Facebook page right now.
All right.
Oh my gosh!
Not only are they sanctimonious tools, most of them can't drive for shh. I hate them and their little cars too. That's what they say on the I Hate Prius Owners. We will discuss, and you can tell Lisa why you hate her. Coming up after the top of the hour here on the Kevin and Bean Show right now. Ralph, the birthday boy, joins us for another look at the showbiz beat. What's going on?
I don't hate Lisa, but Prius drivers do suck.
Oh, maybe you can join us.
Just saying. Just saying.
I don't get that either, and I'm the one who's supposed to be the most hateful.
You're the hater of all haters.
But you are the least, I think, observant of all of us, too, when you're out there in the world. I think things happen to you that just go right by. Maybe you're not registering what's happening.
How dare you.
I'm just saying.
What are we doing?
That's why you were in the other room when the mics went live.
At least I had to fight Beer Mug for my headphones when I got back in.
Yes, you did. So yeah, it's funny. There's a I Hate Prius Drivers webpage.
Don't say it.
Yeah. Have you seen the Get Rid of Beer Mug Facebook page?
Oh, oh I love that.
Yeah, I've seen it. I signed up too.
I signed up for that one.
It's pretty good.
Poor Mugs. Just trying. Just a squirrel looking for a nut, and people just keep stepping on his tail.
But he's not a very smart squirrel.
Well, the squirrels aren't really. But they're lovable.
But Mugs.
They're cute, and they scamper up trees.
I can defend Lisa as a Prius owner. I cannot defend Mugs. He has earned every bit of hate that's coming his way.
Wow.
That is true.
Now you're putting me in an awkward position because I'm going to have to start defending Mugs. You see?
That's difficult to do.
No, it's not, because he's a good man, and he tries.
Yeah, good boy!
I'm all about effort. I'm one of those like NFL coaches. You know, you have your talented team. Give me the guy who's going to work hardest and leave it all on the field. I can work with that player.
That is awesome. That is awesome.
That's right. It is awesome. All right, before I get to showbiz news, real quick email. We were talking about People Magazine and how they named Bradley Cooper the sexiest man alive for 2011, and I read you the other contenders on the list. I wanted to correct myself, but Liam Hemsworth is not Thor. Chris Hemsworth, of course, was Thor. Liam is his equally attractive and equally talented brother, who's also a big deal. So I want to make that correction.
And so there's two of them.
There's in that family, they've got two genetic freaks that are both incredibly handsome and talented. Yes.
Wow.
And I also want to read this email. It came from listener Julie. So while going over the top 12 sexiest man alive list, my roommate and I had to look some of them up. Quite disappointed with the picks, but somewhat okay with the slight level of attractiveness. And then we pulled up Joel McHale. The words out of my roommate's mouth. Oh, come on. Bean might as well be on the list.
Oh, man.
Let's not insult Joel. Come on.
So I'm saying maybe Joel, who did make the list. Some people are having a problem with that, but not me. I think he's dreamy. How would you like to see a Dawson's Creek reunion?
Not even a little bit.
I so much would.
Oh, I would love it.
Oh, I love Creek. I love Dawson's Creek.
I was on it.
I was
on
that. I played the messenger.
I love it.
I think a show like Dawson's Creek. Now, I'm not a big fan of the reboots or the revisiting of the reunion shows.
Right.
But if you got a show like Dawson's Creek, which was about a group of friends at a particular point in their lives when they were young.
Right.
And you could go back and make a competent script about where they were at later stages in their life when they're all grown up.
Mm-hmm.
I think that would be compelling television. Because I thought that show was enjoyable when it was on.
It was. It was a good show.
Seems like time and place to me, though, but you're right. If they could really write it well.
If they do a, you know, a Where Are They Now kind of episode, and they all get back together for a reunion or something, I think that'd be entertaining.
They're all working Vaseline Alley.
No, they are not working Vaseline Alley.
Hey, look how much success has come out of that show. Look at what happened to Pacey, of course, starring on Fringe. Now look at Michelle Williams, who is in every great movie out there right now. Katie Holmes doing pretty well for herself. I mean, except for Dawson, I think there's been a lot of successful actors coming out of that program.
And when I first heard the rumors about the reunion show, I said, well, that's nice, but they'll never get Michelle Williams to do it. Because she is now a queen of the indie film and is just going great guns with her film career. Turns out she's the one who's most for it.
What?
Really?
Did an interview this week, said it would be great to get everyone back together again for a reunion show, and I really hope it happens, Michelle Williams said. So they got her on board. And yeah. I know Josh Jackson has a great sense of humor about his Pacey days.
Yeah, he does.
You ever see that video where he went down to Comic-Con and tried to turn into Pacey-Con?
Oh, no.
Oh, it's freaking hilarious. He goes down there, he's holding up a sign that says Pacey-Con, and he was trying to get together everyone together, dress as your favorite Dawson's Creek character and stuff. It was very entertaining.
How weird would it be now, though, to see Michael Pitt, who's Jimmy on Boardwalk Empire, go back and be on Dawson's Creek after what we've come to see him in?
Yes.
You know what I'm saying?
I don't know. Him.
Michael Pitt. he was a regular character on Dawson's Creek. Huh. Michael Pitt was.
Oh, I miss that show.
I love it.
So maybe we'll get to see Dawson and his friends get together again for one final hurrah.
Maybe I could be on it again.
Or maybe they bring back the messenger character package for Dawson. Gary Busey's the man. However, he's the man with a lawsuit now.
Uh-oh.
According to TMZ.com. Carla Loefer is her name. She is suing Gary Busey. Slapped him with a lawsuit this week, alleging that he tackled her to the ground at an airport in Tulsa, Oklahoma last May.
And why?
Well, here's the thing. It wasn't really a tackle. It was so much it was a shoulder. They may have thrown the yellow flag for hitting a defenseless receiver.
Mm-hmm.
Because it may have been some head-to-head contact. But apparently he was boozing pretty good, allegedly, at the Tulsa airport. downing drinks at the lounge. Then his plane was called. He had to race to the jetway because his plane was ready, and he got up out of the bar, and she claims shouldered him, knocking her to the ground, just running her over.
Mm. I could see that.
Probably didn't even know it.
Probably didn't. Ms. Loafer maintains she was injured and wants unspecified damages. I can only imagine.
Don't forget that. If you forget it, I'm going to come get you and take out your garbage for a week.
See? That's a threat.
It's funny. Any lawsuit against Gary Busey, it certainly could have happened. Because
However, there is a silver lining to every cloud. Apparently, the Philadelphia Eagles have contacted Gary saying, we could use someone who could tackle. Maybe you'd like to be a linebacker.
I like it.
So perhaps they can give him a job at the NFL. While we're talking about sports, what are the locked out NBA players doing now that there is no season?
Call of Duty.
Turns out it's Eva Longoria.
Oh, all of them?
Yeah. That's what they're doing. Wow. Doing Eva Longoria these days. She was picked up by TMZ with LA Laker Matt Barnes at LAX. Apparently, she was picking him up from a flight.
All right.
Now, of course, famously, she was married to Tony Parker. Apparently, she has got a soft spot for basketball stars. Now, they claim they're just friends, and she was just doing him a favor, picking him up at the airport.
Nope.
Let me tell you something. Unless there's some sausage being exchanged, you're not going to lift from the airport from Eva Longoria,
no.
My friends. That's not happening. Unless she's looking for a little game of horse. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
A little one-on-one.
She's a whore, okay?
Hey, I didn't go that far.
That's what you're saying.
Just saying she's more than friends with Matt Barnes, in my personal opinion.
Look, there are way too many ways to get where you're going from the airport without putting out a hot chick to come get you.
Yeah.
Let's face it.
It's like moving. You don't really ask people to pick you up at the airport unless they're family.
Yeah.
it's just too much hassle. Good
friends.
Yeah, or there's
or you're having sex with.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I've never asked anyone I was having sex with to help me move.
Well, that's true. Yeah.
Well, look what the whore cat dragged in.
There's no whore cat.
A whore.
No, there's no whore cat involved here, sir. Celebrity birthdays today. Oh, long, long, long list of celebrities having their birthday today. Gordon Lightfoot, singer and songwriter, Canadian singer and songwriter. Yeah. 73 years old today. He did that Wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald song that Bean is so fond of.
Worst
Among
song
dozens
ever.
Of other hits, by the way.
Could very be successful. Worst song ever.
How
I
dare
agree
you.
With you. It
Seriously.
May be the worst song ever.
Easy
well,
a top 10 worst.
Until Red Solo Cup was released. And then now I think it's got some real competition. But it was one of the worst songs ever. However, Gordon has got lots of good songs, too.
No.
Carefree, sure High, Carefree Highway is one of my favorites. I think
great
it's a lovely.
We need to
Sundown.
Find
Sundown.
You can read my mind.
You did a parody of Gordon Lightfoot a while back.
Yes, I did.
We
yeah.
need to find that.
It's a hideous song. Don't get me wrong. It's a droning, endless, just a meandering, shaggy dog story of a song.
Oh, my God.
Martin Scorsese celebrates his birthday today. Lorne Michaels, Danny DeVito, RuPaul, Dylan Walsh, Sophie Marceau, DeVoe of Belle, Biv, and...
Never a fan of Biv, but the other two are good.
DeVoe is the man. He was the brains behind that outfit, in my opinion. Leslie Bibb, Rachel McAdams, Isaac Hansen of Hansen, and yours truly, Radio's Ralph Garman. By the way, thanks to the Orange County Register for putting me in their celebrity birthday column this week.
Today.
How about that?
That's absurd.
That's real talk right there, man.
That's real talk right there.
Somebody's not doing their job.
I got my photo's on the website with my birthday listed at the Orange County OCRegister.com.
Are there no checks and balances
How
at that
dare you, sir? I am so honored that the OC Register would see fit to honor
That's
me.
Crazy.
So I'm going to subscribe to that paper today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
By the way, check out today's Orange County Register, not only to celebrate Ralph's birthday with his photo there, but to also see the article on our own Christine, Miss Double December 2011. They talked to her about her year and her crown that is getting ready to be turned over to Miss Double December 2012 in about 2 weeks. You are running out of time, ladies. If you'd like to represent the show next year with a sash and crown, come to this year's Acoustic Christmas, next year's Weenie Rose, come to all the Breakfast Whiz, the singles parties, go to Vegas with us, all the stuff we do throughout the year. If you'd like to be part of the Kevin and Bean Show, you can go to krock.com or kevinandbean.com and fill out your entry form and get it in. Deadline is end of show tomorrow, and then starting next week, Kevin and Bean listeners get to start voting on who they like. The pageant this year is December 2nd. In Fullerton at the Slide Bar.
Lisa, why do people hate you?
I have no idea.
Is it because you drive a Prius?
Well, it seems like it, yes. Yeah. You know, I got in an accident last week. And I was stopped by another car, behind another car. That was stopped on a surface street because he wanted to turn left.
Oh, so you weren't moving.
I wasn't moving.
Okay.
And And this guy in a dirt hauler doesn't see us and slams into the back of my car, and I hit the car in front of me. And I get this tweet the next day from a listener that says, I hate you Prius drivers. I work at a body shop, and Prius drivers can't drive at all.
Well, clearly,
and my defense is, I wasn't driving, ass.
Okay, that's fine. But
stop.
But clearly, a guy who works at a body shop knows what kind of cars come in the most.
Have you seen more Priuses on the road, period? Yes, there's tons of Priuses.
They're very popular cars, so you're suggesting that he's going to get a lot of business,
yes,
from Priuses just because, or Prii, whichever the correct plural is, just because there are a lot of them on the road, so they must get in a lot of accidents.
Absolutely.
I'm the guy on the show that hates just indiscriminately. I just pick stuff, go with my gut, and hate it. And for some reason, I don't hate Prius owners, and I feel like I'm dropping the ball. I feel like I need to...
So you need evidence as to why, yeah, you should hate me?
Why am I supposed to hate the Prius owners? Because I'm willing to.
I think we're actually better drivers because, you know, we are looking at the gas mileage. And so, I mean, if you're concerned at all about getting good gas mileage, which I'm sure that's why you buy a Prius, right?
Yeah, I would imagine.
That would be the main reason. So if you're
it isn't the looks.
If you're like, you know, racing to red lights and stuff, you're getting bad mileage. So it kind of has made me a calmer driver.
Mm-hmm. And
which
by
I
calmer,
think is a
you
good
mean
thing.
Slower in everyone's
no,
way?
No, I just mean I'm not, you know, I'm not racing around cars to get to lights and stop signs and stuff.
But Lisa, why was there a hardworking American trying to haul some dirt and actually make this country better, and you were in his way? Did you ever think about that? What about where he was trying to go when he couldn't get there because your stupid car was in front of him?
Well, he could have gone in the lane right next to me that was wide open.
Maybe he saw it
was
a Prius.
Maybe he could have done that.
Maybe he saw it was a Prius, and he went, everyone hates Priuses. I'm just going
to do the world a favor and take her out.
Lisa's got white pants on today. I might as well just give it a shot.
And I'm a white Prius.
Right.
and those Priuses, they just fold like an accordion, right? I mean, they just...
Actually,
right?
No. I mean, well, I did okay. I walked away, so I think they're pretty safe.
We're going to take some phone calls, by the way, as to maybe you can. I think Kevin's on to something here. He should be the guy who hates Priuses. Tell him why, though, because he wants a little bit of evidence for once on why he should hate something. So if you have an opinion on this, we'd love to hear from you at 1-800-520-1067. I mentioned the Facebook page a few minutes ago, the I Hate Prius Owners Facebook page. There's a lot of people participating in this, and some of the comments that they make are lead me to believe that maybe they think that Prius owners think that they're better than everybody else because they've made a smarter auto choice.
But
could that be what's happening here?
Yeah, I don't know if it's a smarter auto choice as much as I think it might be an environmental snob. I'm doing something about the environment. You're not.
You're not. Well,
I do feel
superior to people in Hummers.
Well, people
but
in
don't
Hummers,
we all?
People in Hummers, and by the way, they paint Hummers like bright yellow. I mean, those people are just giant middle finger to the Mother Earth, you know?
Absolutely.
It's not bad enough that you're driving a freaking tank. You have to paint it bright yellow.
Right.
But what about what Lisa said, which is a lot of people buy the Prius because they don't want to pay so much for gas. Gasoline is $4 a gallon. You go a lot further on a gallon of gas than a Prius. It may not have anything to do with the environment at all. It could just be, hey, it's cheaper.
I would like to talk to Ron, who's on hold, who sells cars and might have an explanation of the type of person who comes in and buys the Prius.
All right.
Hey, Ron.
Hey, how you guys doing?
We are good.
You know, I got to tell you, the Prius driver is the eccentric, tree-hugging activist, dyke, gay, whatever you want to call it.
Wow.
Every single one of them drives Priuses. I can't
every
stand
Every single
them.
One of
so
them.
So you're saying every single one of them.
Yeah. I think Lisa May, you're hot as hell, but I think there's something else going on in your life while you drive a Prius. I'm not sure, but
you work for Toyota, though. I would think you sell a ton of Priuses for a ton of different reasons, right?
Yes, I do. I don't sell them. I manage the service department, and I see them all come in,
guy that Lisa mentioned before who said that he works at a body shop and Prius owners don't know how to drive because so many of them come in for service?
Yeah, there's a lot of them on the road. That might be that. But, yeah, the tree-hugging activist doesn't know how to drive either. You know, they're nature walkers, so they I'm not sure.
Oh, my God, are you telling me they hike? Damn it, they're
freaks. I can't stand any one of them. I say shoot them all. But
hey, Ron,
anyway.
I mean, I think when Priuses first came out, that was their market. Absolutely. In the
was
very beginning.
Huggers?
Yeah, because people laughed at the car. They thought it looked stupid.
Because it does
I
look
think
stupid.
That has changed dramatically.
Well, not
but
in that the car
in
looks
In the last
stupid.
5 years. No, I think the
car
looks better,
too. Huh? What? Ugly shape of a car. I don't know. I can't understand why people even think it's good looking.
I like Ron is just hate.
Ron works for Toyota, and he's saying all this.
I love Ron.
God.
I feel like Ron is my brother.
Yeah.
Except for the gay bashing. Except for the gay bashing, I appreciate the call, Ron.
Well,
thank you very much.
You got it.
They are not attractive cars. I don't think anybody buys one because they think, oh, this looks neat, right?
I think they look neat.
No.
Really? I think the new ones are really pretty.
How are they different than the last one?
I think the original ones
Lisa,
were
Lisa, I've been trying
attractive.
To support you, but we have to part ways now.
Like
it's
them.
A hideously ugly car.
Not.
Seriously.
All right, look, we're going to say you're an exception.
All right, we'll bypass that argument.
But the rule is people that buy Priuses do for other reasons, not because they're a good-looking car.
No, I will agree with that.
So right, hang on.
Let the court stipulate that, and then we'll move on.
All right. Hang on, Matt. Hang on, Sam. Hang on. And your calls, too. 1-800-520-1067. Why should Kevin join those who hate Prius drivers? We'll take your calls right after this on the Kevin and Bean
Show. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. Time for details on night number three of the K-Rock.
Kevin, there's no night number three. There's just night number one announced already. Night number two we announced, and that's it. There's only there's two nights of Acoustic Christmas this year. Night number three.
Right.
Unless that's at your house. I don't know. No. Lisa Mae sucks, basically, is what we're learning here, because she drives a Prius. Here's just we'll go right back to your phone calls at 1-800-520-1067.
Can I just stop for 1 second?
Yeah,
Bean, didn't you have a Prius?
Yes, I have a Prius as well. Yes.
Oh, so interesting.
You suck too.
Oh, good, Lisa.
Thank
good.
You.
Dear Kevin and Bean, I drive a vanpool 80 miles one way to work and back every day. Prius owners are by far the worst drivers ever, and they're self-indulgent a-holes. They drive 55 in the carpool lane, not even with two people in the car, and when they do carpool, they're so busy talking on the phone that they still drive 55.
That's weird.
What Prius drivers can suck at, says Matt. Then right after that, we hear from another Matt, drivers of Prii. I hate them because they drive two speeds, turtle speed and light speed. Both are unsafe. They should all die.
There's no one that drives a Prius that drives light speed. Priuses don't go that fast.
Let's see what Sam says. He's on line 7 joining us here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Then we'll talk to Dr. Drew coming up in the next break as well. Hi, Sam. Thanks for holding on. What's going on, dude?
I personally can't stand Prius drivers because they're so freaking eco snobs, man. It's terrible.
Is that what it is? They care more about the world than you do?
No. It's not more that they care. It's more that they care and they like to show you that they care by sticking it in your face.
How did they stick it in your face?
Yeah, tell me about
that. That car?
I'm about to tell you. The first time I ever saw a Prius on the road, period, when they first came out, first time I saw one, the license plate, I kid you not, was Natural High.
Sure.
Okay.
No. All right. So is that what colored your opinion on Prius owners forever? I mean, that one guy, or is there more?
No, I mean, it's like that and the same thing. It's like, you know, you get behind one and 55 max on the freeway. And it's like you can't get around them because they think they own the damn road because they're, eco-friendly. You're driving a truck. You should slow down. You know, you have emissions. I work construction. I can't drive anything smaller than a truck. I have to carry all my tools.
I'm glad you drive a truck. I don't mind that you drive a truck.
Let me ask you this question. Is it possible that it's coming from those of us that don't have Priuses because we see your Prius, and we think you're judging us.
It may be your thing more than ours, because when gas goes up, you probably get a little pissed off, because you're paying a lot more, and I'm paying a little more.
No, not really.
Okay.
Just you go hate, boy.
I think you're exactly right, Kevin. I think that's exactly what it is. I think it's what's going on in the non-Prius driver's head. That doesn't mean that there aren't people who are having actual experiences where they see bad Prius drivers either. I mean,
Of course. Like
and
every
I also,
car.
And
bad
I also wonder,
drivers of every car, yeah.
Yeah, and I also wonder, because the Prius is so identifiable, just like the Hummer is, I think you tend to notice them more, and if somebody is driving poorly, that sticks in your mind. Where if it was driving a Toyota Corolla or something like that, that's just another car. It wouldn't stick with you. You wouldn't make an impression in terms of one specific brand of car.
Right.
All right. Let's try we got some good calls here. Do we want to talk to a Prius supporter, Jeannie?
Sure.
Hi,
she's
Jeannie.
On line 3.
Although Thank I think you. We have
that. Hi, Lisa. I'm doing great, and I'm totally here to support you because I got 2 Priuses a year ago from
Jeannie,
my company.
Why do you hate everybody else on the road?
I don't hate everyone else on the road. You know, the reason I did it was just for gas mileage. I'm not like a big tree hugger or anything like that. I did it for gas mileage for my company.
Mm-hmm.
And I actually ended up falling in love with this car. It's really cool to drive. It gets amazing gas mileage. But it also, too, I have a catering company, and I need to be able to fit a lot of stuff into a vehicle. And I like kind of downgraded from a Pacifica and expected not to be able to put that much stuff in here because
right.
crossing my fingers.
But this you can fit a lot in there.
You can.
Oh, this thing fits
Ring
so
the bell, B. I can do it.
It's crazy. And
Jeannie, let me ask you. Right, let me ask you a question. All right, easy. You like the car. Okay, good.
She loves her car. I love my car, too.
I'm happy for her. But let me ask you a question, Jeannie. Do you yeah. get the sense that other drivers hate you?
You know what? I think it's more or less because there's so many of them on the road that the people that are going 55 get kind of picked out. I don't go 55. I'll be honest with you. I go a little above the speed limit all the time. So I'm not really ticking anybody off, and I just kind of blend in. You know?
All right.
But I think it's those individuals that, you know, it's just like I can remember before I got a Prius thinking to myself, too, wow, those get good gas mileage. You know, someday maybe I'll think about doing that because right now my car is just sucking it down, you know.
It was right.
Still in the car like three times a week, you know.
Uh-huh.
So I think it was more of a jealousy thing, really, honestly.
I got you.
Okay. Okay. Thank you very much for the call. Let's close
James.
With Maher. He's on line one. He's going to tell us that Priuses, Lisa, are worse for the environment than non-hybrid cars.
Really?
How about that?
Bean?
I got an email from that as well.
Okay.
Yeah, I agree with that because they don't realize what the resources it takes to make that car. And then plus, on top of that, when the car is done with to throw it, what are you going to do with all the batteries and the landfills and stuff? At least on regular cars, you can just get rid of them and that's it.
Well, what
Way
do they
to go,
do with
Lisa.
Those
why do you hate the Earth, Lisa?
What do you do
Good
with those
job,
batteries?
Lisa.
By the way, I'd just like to point out again, because Lisa's trying and unable to make this stick, Bean has a Prius as well. So why do you hate the Earth,
Bean? Well, Bean's a douche to begin with.
All right, that's a good point. I hadn't thought about that. Thank you.
Thank you, my
so, well, Kevin, have you been convinced? Are you on board now? Do you hate all Prius owners?
No, and I feel like I should be, but Prius owners seem like they're fine.
Well,
but having said that, anyone that drives 55 needs the death penalty.
Absolutely. I'm with you there.
All rise. Now entering is the Honorable Drew Pinsky.
Ladies and gentlemen, Judge Drudy has joined us on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, Doctor, how are you?
Thanks, Bean.
What are you doing, Doc?
Following my producer's orders.
Dr. Drew, I love it.
No, you don't really.
I love it.
No, Kevin loves it.
You're wrong. I love it.
To make somebody happy.
Kevin is so excited about this Life Changer show now that you've got it a completely Jerry Springer direction. But what's it like for you as an educated man?
Wait a minute. We've not gone. Listen, we're still a couple of experimental shows perhaps were swinging a miss, but we are still doing what we're doing. We're giving stuff to people. We're really doing good work.
Here's one of my favorites.
This show is all about black hair, and I have to say, I, for one, am learning a ton.
that was fascinating. Did you actually watch that?
Dr. Drew, I love this show. What are you missing?
Well, that's good. Well, Kevin's on my side.
I love black hair.
Time for your 3 o'clock appointment in the Life Changers Beauty Salon. And today we're going to talk about a very controversial subject, hair.
Come on!
Dr. Drew, look, please don't misunderstand. No one loves you more than I do. I mean, I've had a man crush on you since the day I met you. But when you had Courtney Stodden on, the 17-year-old creepy bride, when you had her on and you were doing an ultrasound on her breast to determine whether she'd had implants or not.
I heard Ralph go on a 30-minute diatribe about that and actually tried to call in. But you guys are on tape.
No, how dare you?
We haven't done a live show since 1999. But my question is, didn't you think at that point, I went to medical school. What am I doing?
Well, for sure, I actually said that out loud during that judge episode. So you actually hear me say that.
Was Judge Drudy your idea?
No, none of this is my idea.
Well, are you a slave?
No, I find out what I'm doing. Like I'll find out this morning what the segments are, and they've begun to trust me more and take my direction. At that point, it was all about, well, just try this. Come on now.
Many women can relate to my first guest, Heather. She felt neglected by her boyfriend, Walter, and over time developed feelings for someone else. Old story, right? Happens to a lot of people. But here is the twist. The person she fell for happens to be her best friend, Patricia.
Jerry!
I know that sounds Jerry, but that trust me, that was not Jerry. That was actually a very heavy episode.
Imagine thinking you have the perfect life. You're happily married, you have two beautiful kids, you feel secure. Then one day, you find out your wife has an STD.
Not one that you have. It's one you don't have.
Jerry! Jerry! Jerry!
No, but that was, listen, it's more like Loveline, frankly, because it's heavy stuff that we get into in a real way. The people don't just start throwing chairs.
Please welcome my guest life changer, Needy Leaks.
How weird is your life now to do the Sirius HLN show with top newsmakers talking about real stories and then do the CW show sometimes in the same day and then go put up with Psycho Mike and his nonsense at night for Loveline? I mean, you must feel like you've got a split personality, Doctor.
Yeah, schizophrenic, yes. That is terribly schizophrenic.
I'm just saying I love it.
Particularly the Mike part.
You're taking a lot of heat, and they're making fun of you, and I'm saying you're doing the world a great service.
Well,
which is the one I loved before, Dr. Drew? Too fat for jeans, or what was it? Too fat to fly? Too fat?
Oh, the squashers thing you like.
Squashers. Yes.
I liked
it. Well, some of those shows you picked were actually really important and good, so you're kind of misrepresenting, and yet some of them were swings and misses. They were.
Yeah.
Look, if I go on right now and talk about the girl that you had on last week who was on the show because her boobs were too big and you gave her plastic surgery to make them regular size, people are going to tune in to see that. I mean, people love boobs, Dr. Drew. Your producers know what they're talking about.
That girl, but, dude, that is... all right.
We're supporting you!
That's all good.
You're good! What are you missing?
Hey, Dr. Drew, I don't want you to think we're picking on you because we love you and we enjoy both of your television shows. But can I ask you one medical question since we've got you on the phone?
Perhaps.
Uh-oh. I think Dr. Drew is this is Dr. Drew's final appearance
on
the Kevin Abeen Show.
Doctor, we love you.
Oh, by the way, yeah. Let me. I do have to say something, though. We in keeping with the actual mission of the show, we are giving away over 130 jobs to people. If you go to drdrew.com, there's a Putting America Back to Work section, and please submit your resumes. We want to give people jobs. That's the spirit of the show. We take people off the street, we get them jobs, we get them apartments, and now we've got something like a dozen companies involved now in giving people jobs through our organization. So please submit your resumes with us, and we will see to it that companies with jobs get those resumes.
But first, you give them black hair.
No. You have to talk about black hair. Good hair, to be honest.
Let me ask you my medical question, Dr. Drew, and then you can go and never talk to us again if you want.
Hey, no, we like him.
Mm-hmm. We were talking earlier today about a story on the TV in Phoenix about something that's very popular in the high schools there, and I'm sure you've heard of it. It's a two-parts thing. One is butt chugging, where you take a beer bong and put the tube up your butt instead of down your mouth. And the other one is the vodka-soaked tampons. And I guess the kids are thinking this is a way to get drunker faster, but it's not a good idea, right?
It's not a good idea. I mean, the thing that actually concerns me most is that area of the rectum is actually a highly absorptive region. And you could absorb a lot of alcohol, potentially, and you can't sort of regulate it. And people don't really understand that you can overdose on alcohol and get very, very sick.
Have you tried it, Dr. Drew, so that you know exactly what you're speaking of?
Are you suggesting that this be a new Life Changes
yep.
episode?
On today's episode, yeah. Butt chugging. I do it.
Oh, it makes peen gleeful. It's fantastic.
That's what I'm saying. We love it.
If Dr. Drew would insert a tampon in his rectum, I'm telling you that would be the highest rated Life Changers ever. Are you kidding me?
Let me just speculate that won't happen.
Oh, Drew.
Yeah, you're a party pooper.
Listen, you have to embrace the bad.
Is that what this morning's all about?
That's what our show has been all about from the beginning.
Weekdays at 3 and again at 3:30 on the CW. By the way, today, Dr. Drew catches up with the fascinating Dennis Hoff, the owner of the Moonlight Bunny Ranch, if you want to find out about the exciting world of prostitution in Nevada. That sounds like a good hour of television.
We have these women that want to become prostitutes, and I talk them out of it.
Yeah, well, listen! Now we have a serious problem with you.
And then, Dr. Drew, weeknights at 9 or 6, our time on HLN.
On HLN, the Sandusky thing is heating. I have a former child abuser come on and talk about, you know, what goes on in those guys' heads.
Did you hear, I'm sure you did, the interview that he did with Bob Costas?
Oh, yeah.
That was unbelievable.
It was unbelievable, and it kind of upset me because I thought to myself, I put everyone I noticed that I work with, and I said, look, you saw that interview. I could never do that interview. That is Bob Costas hurting somebody. Sandusky may well kill himself as a result of that interview.
Wait, Bob Costas didn't do that to him. Him.
No, I understand.
Guy. That guy's the guy that was raping children.
Listen, I understand that.
So I hope he takes himself out.
I understand that sentiment. I really do.
All right.
It's just, but it's, you know, it's if, should he be innocent or should there be mitigating circumstances, that interview, it was great. It was fantastic what he did from an interview standpoint, from a human standpoint. I think he kind of crossed the line, and you may well see this guy kill himself.
Look, we have already judged him. I mean, a lot of people like Kevin don't think he even deserves a trial. I mean, they say, look, listen to the interview. The guy's clearly guilty. But wasn't that the case with the McMartin preschool a few years ago where they had lots of people who came forward and said there was abuse and they investigated the hell out of it and never found a thing, right?
That's right. However, this guy with the showers, I mean, admitting that.
Is yeah, come stunning. On. I'm showering with the boys and stunning. I would touch their legs, he
stunning,
said.
Stunning.
Come
stunning.
On.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm with you. But I still believe that humans deserve a certain amount of dignity and certainly our due process.
I'm not positive he fits in the category of humans.
I'm with you. I understand the sentiment. I totally do.
Okay. Dr. Drew, you're a good sport, man. Good luck with all the shows. We'll talk to you again soon, my friend. Thanks for coming on.
Take care. Bye.
Thank you.
Who knew? Who knew there was all this stuff going on with Prius drivers?
Oh, yeah. Scared.
It's the world-famous K-Rock 106.7 KROQ at 7:55.
Ralph Garman is here, time for the Showbiz Beat. Ralph, in honor of your birthday today, we have lined up Noel Biederman. He, of course, is the king of infidelity. He's the head of the Madison Agency. Yeah. And we want you to pick out anyone you like from the site for your birthday today.
Wow, that's very sporting of you.
On us!
I don't think it's a wholesale outlet, Bean. I think the women have to agree on the other side of the exchange as
what?
Well.
What
yeah.
kind of deal is that?
I know it seems unfair to you, Kevin, but I believe it's for mutual relationships where people that get together from...
any kind of a website where women get a vote, I'm against. Yeah. But we'll find out what Mr. Biederman has to say when he joins us after the top of the hour from AshleyMadison.com coming up on the Kevin Beach Show. First, though, time for the Showbiz Beat. Here's Ralph.
A lot of people get upset about that website.
Yes, they do.
I don't get it.
I don't get it either, by
the
way.
Well, I think they don't like that he's promoting that, I think is their...
Well, so you think a guy who's not going to cheat says, wait a minute, there's a website where I can cheat? Well, now I've changed my mind. Now I'm going to cheat on my wife.
Look, I'm not that person. I'm just saying
Well, those people are wrong.
They can call in.
But they're wrong.
All right.
Just let them know before they call in that they'll be greeted with this. Wrong!
And no one's required to go to Ashley Madison and cheat because the site exists, right, Ralph?
No, sir.
Okay, so and you can just ignore it.
If AshleyMadison.com went away, there would be no more cheating?
That's correct.
I beg to differ. Oh. I beg to differ.
Okay, I didn't think that one through.
No, you did not. All right, let's talk about showbiz news. Congratulations to Bradley Cooper. He is the sexiest man alive.
Lisa, your thoughts?
Not for me. He's not the sexiest man alive.
It's like the McLaughlin group here being back there.
Thoughts?
Back to you.
Cokie Roberts, your thoughts. Go.
I felt like we only had one woman to ask if that's a good choice or not, because I'm no judge. I mean, he's fine, I guess.
He's handsome,
My
but,
wife thinks he's smoking hot.
I think Ryan Gosling is hotter.
Same. Way better.
Yeah. Smarter.
And he can drive.
Chris Evans for me. I love me that Chris Evans.
Man, because you're a sci-fi geek.
He's a dreamy. He's dreamy in any genre.
Yeah.
See Captain America, though? Man, he came out of that capsule looking good. That's all I'm saying.
My favorite
part of that super soldier serum really works, you know what I'm saying?
It gave him a tan. That was my favorite part of that. He went in really
white.
That
was the Vita-Rays.
And then he came out way tan.
It's the Vita-Rays. They bombard him with Vita radiation.
What's the outrage in Ralph's
and
voice?
So that tans the skin, much like other forms of radiation do.
Yeah, Kevin.
Like tanning beds or things like that. You ever heard of that? Don't make me come over there. It's my birthday. I will bitch slap you. You know how Ralph, genital slap you.
You know how Ralph spent his birthday with me?
Yeah.
Woo!
I asked for that.
Woo!
I said, could we arrange it somehow on my birthday where I could play poker with Kevin? And they said, done. I said, I should have asked for something else. Yeah. No, you got to be careful what you ask for. For example, I said, I wish Rebecca Black would release another song.
Yeah.
Again, I got to be careful what I ask for. Turns out this week she's releasing her third single, Person of Interest, it's called. How ironic. That Rebecca Black has a song called Person of Interest, but I have no interest in her person whatsoever.
Do we have any of this, Ralph? I'd love to hear some of it.
We do. We don't have time. We'll play in the next hour. I'll bring it in for you. Eva Longoria, what's she doing?
Just being all hot.
TMZ.com says that she was caught picking up Matt Barnes of the L.A. Lakers at LAX. See what happens when basketball players don't have basketball to play? You know what they start doing? Having sex with people.
Cooch.
Because that doesn't happen
when they're busy with the season. It's all business. Strictly focused on the game.
I didn't realize
Now they got all this spare time. Now there's crime in the streets and sexuality just running rampant, flying hither and yon, going in and out of airports. must put a stop to this. We're not going to have any basketball this season, are we?
At all.
I don't think so. Take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Gordon Lightfoot, he's 73 years old today. He is the man responsible for the wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald being back.
The best song ever.
That's not the case.
Easily
but
in my top 10 of worst songs ever.
We were compiling them in the other room because we've got Red Solo Cup.
Well,
my in-depth analysis of Red Solo Cup coming up from Toby Keith, the man who also brought you Stick Our American Boots Up Their Foreign Ass.
But at least that's bad enough to be funny.
You're giving them way too much credit. All these country artists with all these. Everything's ironic coming out of that. It's not. It's not ironic.
I don't know if he's doing it to be funny, but I think it's bad enough that it is funny.
Remember Brown Chicken Brown Cow?
Yes,
remember
I do.
That by Trace Adkins?
Yeah, that was horrible.
Yeah, so we're putting together the top 10 worst songs ever, and I'd like to say The Wreck made it, so congratulations, Bean. The Wreck is on the list.
I couldn't be more deeply offended by that. That's a disrespect to the men who lost their lives that fateful night.
Like, you care.
He's all about the Merchant Marines.
Yes, I
know
am.
That about Bean.
That's what you know about me.
Always has been.
Martin Scorsese, 69 years old today. Lorne Michaels, 67. Danny DeVito, also turned 67 years old. RuPaul is 51. Dylan Walsh, we're talking about him. He used to be on Nip Tuck. He's 48 years old today. Sophie Marceau.
Oh, Sophie Marceau. Oui, oui.
She's 45 years old today. DeVoe of Belle Biv is 44 years old. Leslie Bibb. Of ER and popular.
Belle Bib?
It was Belle Bib DeVoe. That was a short-lived reincarnation after they broke up. She's 38. Rachel McAdams.
Yes.
Oh, love her so. She's 33 years old today. And Isaac Hanson of the band Hanson celebrates 31 years. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Night one, completely sold out. Thank you for your support buying those tickets yesterday for night number one of the 22nd annual K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas Show. That one is on Saturday, December 10th. Night number two goes up tomorrow for sale at 10 a.m. If you want to go see the Black Keys and Cage the Elephant, Death Cab for Cutie, Florence and the Machine, Foster the People, Group Love. Oh, Jane's Addiction. How about that? Mumford and Sons, The Naked and the Famous, and Noel Gallagher's High Flying Birds. You can get all those bands on one night, on one stage, and that's tomorrow at 10 a.m. for street team members. Go to krock.com to get all the information.
And now, the most hated man in America, Noel Biederman, is in the studio with us.
And the applause
begins.
Yeah, the world. Yeah, please, give some respect.
Noel, you get a lot of hate.
Yes, but some love,
not
at least
much.
For my family. Yeah.
Noel is the founder and chief executive officer of a company you've heard of called Ashley Madison, one of the most brilliant companies in the world because, I don't know, do you ever even pay for advertising or does the news do the work for you?
Yeah, no, that is one of the upsides of running this business. It's that people do want to know where the heck this idea came from, but for the most part, I would still rather put my ad smack dab in the middle of Monday Night Football. Wouldn't you just love to hear Al Michaels say, "Welcome to Ashley Madison Stadium at Meadowlands"?
Yes,
you know?
I would.
Just never happens.
Let's assume there are people listening who are not familiar with the business. How long has Ashley Madison been around? How did it get started? And what's it all about, as you Canadians say?
Yeah, it's a boot. You know, it's a dating service with a huge caveat. It's for people already in a relationship. And I started it because, at the time anyway, so many people on singles dating sites were just lying. They weren't single at all. They were in relationships.
Very
and
true.
Were preying on, you know, unsuspecting people. I just thought they might prefer a social network of their own. And so
it's funny you would say that because we have singles parties all the time. And I don't know. I get the idea that about a third to a half of the people who call in to go to the singles party have a girlfriend or a boyfriend or whatever, or husband or
for
wife.
Sure.
And just lie so they can come to the party.
That was exactly the metric we came across. It was about 32% of people at the time going on singles dating sites. I don't think that's so much the case anymore. I think now Facebook's probably more of that
sure.
kind of playground
yeah.
for people. But, you know, listen, we've created a social network dedicated to people who are in a relationship but want to have their cake and eat it too. They want to play around on the side. That's what we built.
Now, Ashley Madison is available in 16 countries, if this information in front of me is still accurate.
It is indeed.
Over 11 million members, and it is a pay site. You do subscribe, basically, to have the ability to peruse other personals, right?
Yeah, it's free to sign up and join. What we charge you for is the communication. That's my role in this. People, when they call me a virtual pimp or whatever, I think they're being either kind or harsh, depends on how you look at it. But ultimately, our job is to let you self, you know, profile and say, this is who I am, this is what I'm looking for, and then communicate with those people through our chat service, through our email messaging service, where it's all discreet and protected. It's a running meter to the taxi cab.
Now, Noel, has Ashley Madison ever been named in a lawsuit based on a hookup that led to a divorce?
You know, it's funny. I think we've done a couple of things right in society, right? We stopped painting people with scarlet letters. We decided that wasn't a good way to go about evolving and being tolerant. And then we realized a good use of public court time is not to sit there and said, he said, she said, who did what to whom first. We all kind of said, you know what? If you split up, you're splitting the property. And so move on. So why would anybody harass me or any other inanimate object, a cell phone company, a hotel room? Who cares? Who cares? If you're ending it, you're ending it, and you go your separate ways. The bottom line is, you know, we probably also do a very good job of keeping these things discreet. But yeah, to date, not one single lawsuit.
I imagine The Good Wife, there was one.
The Good Wife, yeah. Sarah Silverman played me as some kind of psycho killer. I'm always portrayed so well. You know,
are
the
you
folks in Hollywood call
psycho
me
killer?
Well, you know, the folks in Hollywood call me what once a week and say, "Come down, we want to do a TV show about you, the business." And it always turns into something that sounds ugly.
Yeah. AshleyMadison.com is. Would it be fair to say you're promoting infidelity? No, really, you're just a facilitator for those who choose to cheat, right?
I don't know that it needed any promoting. I think, you know, you guys were talking about it before, that there isn't a single affair you can prevent from happening, and nor can you persuade someone to have an affair. I couldn't sit down one-to-one with somebody, let alone with a 30-second TV commercial, and convince them to have an affair. That's ridiculous. What I can convince them to do is not to have it in the workplace, because you're going to end up losing your job, or not to go on that single
dating.
So you're
actually doing them a service.
I'm really a humanitarian.
I mean,
I expect my Nobel Prize. My Nobel Prize is coming sometime soon.
He's promoting honesty when you're cheating.
It's ironic, but Ashley Madison is one of the more honest places on the web, because that is a place where you can truly say how old you are, how much you weigh, whatever it ends up being.
Yeah,
but they're not being
about
honest about. They're not being honest about with their partner, and that's for a reason. They don't want to lose something they've got. Listen, for a lot of people, they love their partner, they love their children, their economic situation, whatever it ends up being. They're not happy with the bedroom, and so they're not prepared to be super selfish and just leave for that one reason alone. And so they want to do something behind people's back. Is that right, wrong? I think it's just harsh to judge people, because we don't walk in
their
shoes.
What percent of interviews that you do turn into attacks?
99.9. You know,
really?
We just launched in Italy. This is the truth. Launched in Italy about 3 weeks ago. I just got back from there. We were trying to do a sponsorship deal with one of the basketball teams over in Rome. And Opus Dei actually put out a press release about me and us.
Whoa.
I got so uncomfortable. I left the country 2 days early.
You should have.
Aren't those the guys who flogged themselves?
Yeah, they
with
beat
the
themselves.
Whips?
I don't know that much about them, to be honest, other than what Dan Brand has written in some novels. And so my view was, if they're getting angry at me, I should just leave before things get really ugly.
Probably a good choice.
Wise.
All right. Give me the other side of the coin, Noel, since you've heard so much of it in interviews and I'm sure with people who contact you through the website. If you can, vocalize for me what they say to you is their biggest problem with the existence of AshleyMadison.com.
You know, listen, I do get a lot of people who think from a religious perspective this is wrong. I understand where they're coming from. No one should question anyone else's faith, but that's their prerogative. What I hear more about, though, is my members who say, thank you for having the courage to build this. I have tried talking to my partner. They didn't come to an affair lightly. They have tried talking to them for years, and they're lonely even within their marriage. And so women in particular have felt that men have had these cathartic outlets the world over. Massage parlors on every street corner you go to, and I've been around the world and I've seen it, or strip clubs or whatever it ends up being. That exists for men. Nothing's ever really existed for women, at least not on that scale. And so the internet is that evening of the playing field, if you will. And so they're incredibly thankful. That's why we've called it Ashley Madison. That's why it's designed with the pinks and purples. We use TV commercials. It all cater to giving women an outlet. And you know what? Men are smart. They figure out where ladies' night is, and they come and drove.
What percentage of people?
Are there any
what
women on the site? Is what Kevin wants to know.
What do I think? I would seriously think it would be at least 80-20 men.
It's probably more 60-40. Okay. And it depends on the city. Like, you know, whatever goes on in the drinking water down in Houston, let me know, because the girls there. Yeah, that's one of the few cities in America where the women outnumber the men. But it's pretty rare. And everywhere we've launched now, 16 countries, 6 languages, we've never really had more women than men. That's despite everything I just said, where we market towards them and everything we figure out. This is still a bit of a landscape for men. And that's also why the women come there. They like the attention.
When people accuse you of promoting it, you are promoting it. I mean, this ad that you put up for Halloween.
Well, that was just fun.
Did your wife scare you last night? Is the line. And then there's a giant fat woman wearing too little, and she's pretty ugly. Yeah. And then it says Ashley Madison at the bottom, which is basically saying, hey, if your wife's fat, you know, I can see how people would say, you are promoting that guy cheating.
Two things I'm doing with any of my advertising opportunities. I'm always provocative. We're inundated every day, right? On the radio, when we're driving, billboards, TV. We see so many ads a day, it's hard to kind of, you know, muddy our way through. So I try and be provocative on my advertising. But what I also try and do is speak to my constituency. My users do wake up and almost don't recognize their partner sometimes. My famous TV commercial that the Super Bowl rejected was the female version of that, which is a woman on an awful blind date with a total bore, only to realize it's her husband on their anniversary. That's the real life experience that, you know, millions of my members go through, and so that's who I'm speaking to. And so, yes, other people are offended or take, but listen, I listeners right now, there's hundreds of thousands woke up and they can't believe the neglect their partner has gone through, whether it's physically or mentally or whatever. They don't care enough about their relationship. That's what leads them to an affair, not an ad on the back of a newspaper.
I don't think you're talking to me, but just for the record, I have a lot of TV to watch, okay? Noel Biederman is our guest here on the Kevin and Bean Show. He is the founder and chief executive officer of AshleyMadison.com. We are going to take a break. We have many more questions for Mr. Biederman. And if we have time, would you mind, could we include a couple of phone calls from our listeners as well?
No, love it.
Okay. Noel is here if you want to talk to him. 1-800-520-1067. We'll be right back on the Kevin and Bean. Founder and chief executive officer of AshleyMadison.com, Noel Biederman, in studio with us here on the Kevin and Bean Show. By the way, I told my wife, she couldn't be listening right now. I don't know about you, Kevin, but I just thought.
Are you a member?
I'm not, actually. No. There are over 100,000 members in Los Angeles, though, more than a million, way more than a million in the state of California, members of AshleyMadison.com. We're going to go to some phone calls here at 1-800-520-1067. Let me ask you this, Noel. I hear the complaints that people have, and you've heard them, of course, a lot more than I have. What you're advertising isn't illegal. It's not illegal in most places to have a marital affair, right?
I think there is actually still a statute somewhere in Massachusetts from the 1700s that does talk about this being some kind of criminal act. But as we well know, you can't put people in prison for this kind of behavior. And so really any unenforceable law, the Supreme Court wouldn't. But yes, it's not illegal for me to help people connect, and it's not illegal for people to have affairs.
I mean, my feeling, and I don't know, I don't know if I'm speaking for the room or other people listening, but my feeling is, like other legal products, it's a choice that I can make or not make to use your product. I mean, do I think guns should be outlawed because somebody might get a gun and shoot somebody? No, I don't. If somebody wants to buy a gun, I don't care if they buy a gun. That's kind of how I look at it.
Yeah, and I think we have to believe in free will. Again, thankfully, we live in a society where if you want to do certain things, if you want to smoke cigarettes, drink alcohol, you're permitted to do it. Is it necessarily the best thing for you? Probably not. But we also let those companies advertise their product. Some of them. No, but they you know, like, I've tried year in, year out to advertise on NFL football games. I find it ridiculous, which is a league that, you know, last year it's two poster boys, you know, Brett Favre with the whole junk scandal and Roethlisberger with his, you know, preseason issues around whatever he did or didn't do in that strip club. They're not the bastion of morality. Their job is to put on the most entertaining product on the planet and let other companies go and advertise around it. When they get in the business of saying, no, that's unacceptable, I think that's a slippery slope. I think it's kind of dangerous.
I totally agree with you. Let's squeeze a couple of phone calls in at 1-800-520-1067. Dallas has got something for us. She is on line 5. And Dallas, thank you for holding on. You're on with Noel Biederman from Ashley Madison. Go ahead.
No problem. Hi, everybody. I just wanted to ask if you are married or in a relationship, and if you are, has the site had any problems for you?
You know, I'm a happily married man. I'm 8 years into my marriage, two lovely kids, a great wife. And like any incredible partner, once I decided to do this, she was behind me. She said, if you want to do it, you know, I'll support you any which way. And ironically, I talk about infidelity more than any man on the planet. So if anybody should understand how to at least try and avoid the pitfalls, it should be me. So, you know, I think that's how it's impacted my
personal
life.
But you do have to try out all of the women to make sure they're up.
Yes, I forgot that component. But right?
I don't think they audition, Kevin.
People used to think that in the very beginning, people thought that the way the service worked was that people came into my office in a private office and I met them and sized them up and said, you know what, I have a great girl for you. Yeah, she's just next door. Wait a second.
You were like the Yenta?
Yeah.
But Noel, how about that conversation around the dining room table when you first came up with the idea and you had to present it to your wife? She must have thought, what the hell's going on here? This
sounds
like
alternative motives. She definitely thought I was kidding until I pulled out the file, the research, the focus groups I had been running. She was like, is this some kind of anxiety we're working through here? You know, she came from a different perspective on marriage. You know, her family had had, you know, her parents, there had been some infidelity. Mine was more nuclear. And so I think we looked at it from that perspective. In the end, my friends, my family, they've always judged me for who I am and how I behave around them. And, you know, my business is my business life for sure. I'm an entrepreneur at the end of the day.
Let's talk to Gabe, who has a question. Hi, Gabe.
Yeah. Hi, guys.
Hi.
Lisa. Hi.
No, okay. Let's say hypothetical. Worst case scenario, I use your site and I get caught. You gave personal advice as far as don't do it at work. What happens if I get caught using your site?
Well, I wouldn't say don't do your user work. You know, almost half of our users log in during work, right? One of the reasons we have one of the most popular apps in the iPhone store or on Android is because people use personal devices. They don't tend to do their searching on Ashley Madison at home.
No,
and
but
so,
you said don't cheat at work.
He said don't cheat at work.
Oh,
yeah.
Definitely don't
That's
cheat
what
at
he
work.
Was referring
yeah, yeah, yeah.
To, yeah.
But, you know, at the end of the day, if you get caught, I guess, you know,
That's
what,
on you, Gabe.
Most people
what
do.
If I get caught, what do I do?
Blame it on Noel.
You change your name and move to another city is what you do.
You know what? Listen, what a lot of other people do when they get caught, it's the time to have the honest conversation with their partner about how bad it's been and that, listen, it's unfortunate that this has happened, but maybe we can pull out of this death spiral of relationship. If you care about one another, it becomes a litmus test. A lot of people do survive infidelity and their relationship improves as a result of that conversation.
We're almost out of time. We have to speak with Lisa, though. She is on line 7. She is an Ashley Madison user, and you are on with the CEO, Noel Biederman. Go ahead.
Hi there. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Hi, Lisa.
You're
welcome.
I've actually used the service a couple of times, and it's literally saved my marriage. I was in a position where we were, you know, both married too young and, I suppose, bored and whatever, and it kind of, you know, gave us a safe way to resolve a situation that otherwise could have been very reckless.
So you cheated, or he cheated, and that then you
I
both
did.
You cheated, okay. And
but
then,
did you tell him? I mean, is this a conversation you guys had before you had it, or you did it behind his back?
No, he still to this day doesn't know. But we tried to, you know, lighten up our sexual marriage, and
right.
It didn't work. We tried different things, and it was just kind of like you're in a rut. At the end of the day, you're exhausted from the kids, the work, the everything, and this gave me at least an outlet to where I did come home, and I was a little bit happier, and I wasn't as resentful of the whole situation, you know.
When you said it saved your marriage, we thought that meant you talked things over.
Oh, no.
Do you still?
We're both just happier. I don't know. I think it was just the me having, you know, a girl can't go out to a bar and just get picked up by some strange guy and go home
she
at
can.
Night.
Well, I think the question then is, are you still doing it, or you went through
no.
a period of time where you did and now you don't have to anymore?
Yeah, I did it a couple times and that was it.
You know, I hear this a lot from my members that for them, an affair is a marriage preservation device. It's like this life's there at the time. They're just stuck in this really terrible place. They don't want to leave or can't leave, truthfully. And so this is what they do to get through to the next day. And it becomes very temporary for some people. Yes, for others, it might become more of a permanent lifestyle approach.
I'm not sure about that.
But that's how they, for them, it's a marriage preservation device. That's why
I'm
people
sure
have affairs. They don't want to leave. They want to stay.
But Lisa, what happened in your marriage that made it?
Gone. Sorry. Sorry,
okay.
Apologize. We're out of time. Is there a gay component Elliot wants to know?
Yeah, listen, we wanted to make this community open to anybody who couldn't find the right connection with their partner. So there's about 350,000 women, for example, who are on the service right now. They're married. They see themselves, I guess, as heterosexual, but are curious about being with another woman. And so they join the service for that purpose. Their partner can't become another gender, right?
The website is AshleyMadison.com, the world's premier dating site for people who are already married or looking for something more. Noel, I'm so glad you finally had the opportunity to come by and spend some time with us here on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Oh,
obviously,
thanks,
you know, like every other person in the media, we have talked about your site in the past when it's come up and become controversial, but it's kind of interesting to hear it right from your mouth. So thanks for the time today. Good luck with it, all right?
Thank you very much.
This is the only thing that Ralph Garman wanted for his birthday was the opportunity to talk about the new Toby Keith song. What's going on with you, Ralph?
F and Toby Keith. First of all, F country music. F it. F country music. And let me tell you why. Let me tell you why country music is an evil in this country. It needs to be snuffed out.
All right.
And I mean snuffed out. I mean like the nuclear option. Just carpet bombing Nashville. It needs to be removed.
Okay, why?
Because there's a turn happened. There was a switch thrown in this great country of ours
mm-hmm.
where people used to aspire. This used to be a country of aspirations.
Mm-hmm.
There would be a class of people that would say, you know what? Yeah, I work on a farm. I work with my hands. But I am doing that so that my kids can go to college. Perhaps they can have all their teeth. Perhaps they can learn things, and they can wear shoes, and they can be upwardly mobile in this country. I aspire to the next generation of my family to have something more.
Right.
And then at some point in America, I don't know what happened, 20 years ago, 15 years ago, people realized, wow, that's a lot of work. It's a lot of work to try to move up. You have to work hard, and you have to dedicate yourself, and it's difficult. So what do we do? I don't really want to do hard work. What do we do? Oh, I know what. Let's glorify the fact that we're white trash living in a trailer,
and we're dumb as dirt, and we're toothless, we have sex with our cousins. Let's not think that's a bad thing anymore. Let's glorify it. Let's kid ourselves into thinking that makes us better than everybody else. Oh, we're in the South, and we drink out of red Solo cups, and that's so cool, and we're better than you. Only now in America will an entire faction of this country look at political candidates and say, oh no, he's too intellectual for me. They'll say that. He's too intellectual. He's too smart. He knows too many things. He has shoes.
You're going to break something
what
in your
head. What has happened? And then Toby Keith comes along and he writes a whole song about how the fact is, how great is it we're drinking out of plastic cups. Oh, aren't we special? Aren't we a wonderful breed of people?
Let's let Ralph catch his breath for just a second.
This is a great song that you can find on the Internet Roundup today. Go to kevinandme.com or krec.com. Internet Roundup. We put up the video for Red Solo Cup.
Which is what you drink out of in college when you can't afford anything else.
You get the big bag
at Costco of the Red Solo Cups, and you drink your beer out of your keg and that, because that's what you do.
Until you can afford something better.
Right. Yeah. Then you move up in the world. And then you drink out of, I don't know, glasses! And you move up where you are not drinking out of a plastic cup an imbecile anymore. And
let
here is Toby Keith, who has more money than God, I assure you. But no, he's got to still toe the line. He's got to say, let's worship all things white trash and horrible.
It's number four on the iTunes Downloads country chart, number 31 on the pop chart right now.
Oh, my God.
But let me ask you this, Ralph. I know that you hate country music, and I won't take issue with that, although you couldn't be more wrong. And I know that you hate Toby Keith, and he has a lot of bad songs. But this one at least is great, and it's well-crafted, right?
Oh, this effing song.
Let's play a little of it. You want to?
No, I don't.
Red Solo Cup. This
is a song about a plastic cup. Not just a song. It's a celebration. It's an anthem. It's an homage to the magic that is a flimsy, cheap plastic cup.
Is it a joke? Something so, something not. It's a real single. It really is charting.
It's the same mentality as I got friends in low places. Let's celebrate our garbageness.
Because you know my stance on banjos.
Oh.
This is the video is them in a house having a house party. Sing it if you know it.
Now, Red Solo Cup is the best receptacle for barbecues, tailgates, fairs, and festivals. And you, sir, do not have a pair of testicles if you prefer drinking from glass.
Yeah, okay, right there. I don't have testicles if I drink out of a glass. Because...
like humans do.
Right. Because like people who have an IQ over 70 do. You're not a man if you're not drinking out of this cheap-ass plastic cup like me and my other cousin-humping friends in my double-wide trailer parked in Texas. F you!
I should give this warning, and that is that we listened to this yesterday after the show, and it was in my head all day long.
It's pretty catchy.
It's pretty catchy.
You have a lot of room in there, though, the whole song.
You know that's true.
Hey, Red Solo Cup is cheap and disposable. In 14 years, they are decomposable. And unlike my home, they are not foreclosable. Freddie Mac can kiss my ass.
Yeah, well, you know what? Don't take out a loan you can't afford, you redneck piece of garbage.
Red Solo Cup, I fill you up. Let's have a party. Let's have a party.
He's not singing about a Red Solo Cup. He's singing to a Red Solo Cup.
It is a love song to the Red Solo Cup.
I love you, Red Solo Cup. I lift you up. Proceed to party.
He has the magical ability to red cup with up. He is a gifted musician. I can see why Bean likes country music, because they really have a gift.
Now, I really love how you're easy to stack, but I really hate how you're easy to crack. Because when beer runs down in front of my back, well, that, my friends, is quite yucky. But I have to admit...
He put yucky in there.
Quite yucky.
Yeah.
That the ladies get smitten, admiring how sharply my first name is written on you with a Sharpie when I get to hitting on them to help me get lucky. Red Solo Cup, I fill you up. Let's have a party. Let's have a party.
And on a
it goes.
Red so you solo are, you, cup, I fill you up.
Let's have a party. Yeah, let's have a party instead of paying our bills or paying down our mortgage or buying glassware. You just keep drinking your cheap-ass beer in your trailer, you redneck piece of garbage. I can't this wait is for you
gonna,
to die.
This is going to be your ringback tone in an hour. Come on, Ralph. There's no way you're going to be able to resist this song.
Oh, man. Oh.
Hey, I love you, Red Solo Cup.
All right.
Lift you up, yeah. Proceed to party.
Proceed to party.
Proceed to party.
And country people are eating this up with a spoon. I'm telling you, can't get enough of this song. You know why? Because it makes them feel better about themselves. Hey, I got a whole kitchen full of Red Solo cups. I must be somebody, too.
I used to be embarrassed.
No, you're not. Go just take on your indoor gas heater that you're using to stave off the cold and pull out the exhaust from where it goes to the wall. Just let it fill up your trailer and do us a favor and just take yourself out.
Red Solo cup in one hand and today's showbiz beat in the other. Here's our friend, the birthday boy. Ralph Garman.
You ain't got a pair of testicles if you drink out of glass.
That well, glass, drinking out of glass is for fancy people. That's for uppity folks.
It's
Ralph,
for folks with the book learning. Those people with their teeth and their shoes.
So goddamn tired of people trying to suggest that country music. Oh, yeah, that's the real America. Real dumb America.
That's where the insight is.
Oh, you know what? Those small town folk, they've got the real wisdom. No, they don't. No, they just got the inbreeding and the moonshine. That's what they got. All right. Let's, speaking of bad music, Rebecca Black, what do we have to do? What do we have to do to convince this little girl that her 15 minutes have gone?
Look, her parents keep giving her more money to make more songs.
Now she's being homeschooled because the kids at school don't stop making fun of her. She gave us Friday, which was a novelty in the sense that it was so bad that it actually came back around again, and we enjoyed it ironically. We would laugh at it and point at it and sing it and watch the video because it was a hideous disaster. Now she is releasing a seriously, an increasing mediocrity has crept into her music where it's not even bad enough to really enjoy anymore.
Oh, well, don't get better.
Her second single was just bleh, and now she's got this new one she dropped this week called Person of Interest, which is just,
I watched
boring.
That show.
Yeah, it has nothing to do with the CBS television program, by the way. If it did, it might be interesting. This is just her talking about how she's interested in some boy she's playing skee ball with by what I can make out from the video.
When I talk, you listen, I like that. When you listen, you smile, and I like that.
She likes that.
Why you looking at me just like that? I like that.
She likes it.
I like that.
I think she likes it.
There's a crime scene.
Crime scene on the dance floor.
Ring the alarm.
Ring the alarm.
Police tape on the front door.
Police tape on the front door.
A person of interest. A person of interest.
Yeah, I'm good.
We,
I'm good there. That's all we need, I think. That's all we needed.
We,
That's all we need of that.
We're asking a lot of Kevin and me listeners to sit through this 20-minute period of the show.
Yeah, between Red Solo Cup and Person of Interest. You know what? I'll take this over Person of Interest.
This is Person of Interest. You mean to take that over Red Solo Cup?
I'm sorry, take this over Red Solo Cup.
Oh, I know you would, yeah.
That auto-tune, man, is just, it's dripping off that track. She keeps telling everybody how she can sing, and then she immediately goes out and proves that she can't. Spectacular. Congratulations to Bradley Cooper. Not only is he either in or in the running for every movie made in Hollywood.
Right.
That's true.
But he's also now, according to People magazine, the sexiest man alive.
That's real talk right there, man.
2011 edition. He said, I can't believe my luck. I'm waiting to be told I'm on an episode of Punk'd. Oh, stop it. Stop it.
Yeah, I would say by that point, you know people think you're pretty good looking.
Yeah. The list of other contenders that didn't win this year, according to People magazine, Liam Hemsworth. Brother Chris not on the list, though, which is infuriating to me. Idris Elba, Chris Evans, Tim McGraw, Josh Charles, Joel McHale, Jason Momoa, Alec Baldwin, Dylan McDermott, and Ryan Gosling, who I thought was this year's shoo-in.
Yeah.
And apparently so did he. The person I really feel bad for, though, is his sexiest man alive mentor, George Clooney.
How come?
George apparently has been training Gosling, has had him in Sexiest Man Alive camp leading up to the announcement. And
I didn't realize that.
He is horribly disappointed.
Hmm.
You can tell, here's a little piece of an interview George did this week as we were waiting to hear the news, who was going to be crowned the Sexiest Man Alive.
It's got
to
be Ryan, don't you think?
He's
been training and working so hard for it. Ryan Gosling has. He really wants it.
He wants it?
He's been saying, well, the whole time we were on the set of Eyes, he was like, how did you pull that off? So I called up Brad Pitt, and we worked with him for weeks. The walk, we told him how to train, everything.
Yeah. It's a shame they put in that much time in training camp, and then they end up losing.
Who was doing the interview? Who's the girl?
Some bonehead from Extra.
What she was saying with every question is, I want to have sex with you, George Clooney.
Right.
Oh, you should see the bigger part of the interview. I think you can go to Huffington Post and find the bigger part of the interview. She's like, so, oh, you look so good tonight on the red carpet. You play a father in this new movie, Descendants. Do you want to have children? her eggs were popping out of her all over him while she was talking to him.
And by the way, Clooney, more than anyone, handles with grace the red carpet and the stupid questions that he gets, the people fawning over him and the dumb things that they say. He always manages to not make the person look worse.
But he answers it in a completely ironic way, to the sense where you realize, okay, that was a dumb question for that person to ask. She's like, you're gonna have children now because you play a father in this movie. He goes like, that's a great question because you know I'm going to give you a serious answer. He said.
That is fantastic.
It's like beer mug on the red carpet. He said, you know, I've done a lot of things in movies. I didn't really have to do them in real life. Because I played a father, I don't have to have kids. I wore a rubber suit in Batman. I don't have to wear a rubber suit around in my real life.
That's funny.
So. Good for you, George. Today's celebrity birthday is Gordon Lightfoot, legendary Canadian singer-songwriter. Gave us The Wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald, Bean's favorite song. 73 years old today. I'd take that over Red Solo Cup.
Not me.
Any day of the week.
Red Solo Cup is just
give
above
me the
that.
Wreck over the cup.
Nope.
Anytime. Give me two wrecks and a cup.
Cup wrecked.
Martin Scorsese, legendary movie director, 69 years old today. Lorne Michaels, who gave us Saturday Night Live, he's 67, as is actor, producer, director Danny DeVito. RuPaul, my favorite transvestite, I think, really, of all of them.
She's your favorite? He's your favorite?
He is my favorite, yes. Dylan Walsh from Nip Tuck, 48 years old. Sophie Marceau is 45. DeVoe of Belle Biv is 44 years old. Leslie Bibb of ER and Popular is 38. Rachel McAdams is 33 years old today. And keep that bell going. I celebrate my birthday today as well. Hey, where's my bell? Where's my bell?
You know, where's your butt buddy now?
We're going to play poker later on at the San Manuel Indian Bingo and Casino. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thanks for listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. Don't forget, KROQ.com, KROQ.com, KROQ.com. That's where all the information is about for both nights of the 22nd annual KROQ Almost Acoustic Christmas Concert. Night one's already sold out. Thank you for that. Night two goes on sale tomorrow at 10 a.m. for street team members, so head on over. Right now, though, our next guest on the Kevin and Bean Show is that guy from that show, weeknights at midnight on ABC, our old buddy Jimmy Kimmel. Back on the phone with the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, James, how are you?
Hey, what's up? I'm glad you guys are on the internet now. Congratulations on this KROQ.com thing.
Just got there.
I think it's going to work out for us.
And happy birthday to Ralph as well.
Yeah, it's his birthday today, yeah.
I'm sorry James, to ruin it with this stupid holiday, but he stuck with it forever.
Before we talk about the stupid holiday, I wanted to ask you about a couple things. First of all, I understand you're very distressed that the King of Mexico is now in a position of power here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Like, you probably can't even imagine how that happened, right?
He sent me an email, which thank you for giving the King of Mexico my email. Just
no worries.
Asking for my phone number, and I'm sitting here, and I gave him the phone number, and I'm sitting here waiting for the phone to ring, and he sends me back an email saying, hey, the phone number's not working. And he's of course, one digit off.
Yeah, so you're waiting by the phone, and he can't dial it.
He said, can you believe I'm calling you now? I said, I knew you'd screw it up. I was not placing them.
Look, if you stay anywhere long enough, it's the Peter Principle. That's what they call it, right? You are going to get promoted if you just hang in there long enough.
The Pedro Principle in this case.
Well, I think you're right about that. He does look good on our EOE. All right, James, National Unfriend Day. Do I remember correctly that this is something that you started on Jimmy Kimmel Live a year ago? Last year was the first year, right?
That is correct, yes.
All right, what's the deal? People love their Facebook. They love to be in touch with their friends and family, their colleagues. What's your beef with that?
I get that. I have no problem with that. I think that in concept, it's all fine. I mean, you know, you do want to keep in touch with people, but you don't want to have to call them or mail things to them or get emails with pictures. But at a certain point, it becomes too much. And I was looking at something like some of the people that I work with, we'll have 1,000 friends. And I know that nothing is getting done when you have 1,000 friends to keep up with.
A, nothing's getting done. B, they don't have 1,000 friends.
Right.
Absolutely.
Even though they say they have 1,000 friends, or their Facebook does, that's certainly not actual friends.
They're not actual friends.
Yeah.
Even if they had some other way of categorizing these people so they're less intrusive in your life, it would be acceptable. But just they're not your friends. And for some reason, people have gotten in their heads that the more friends they have, I don't know, it's like everyone's running a television show or something.
It is. It's a race. It's to see if you have more friends than other people, you're better.
But it's uncomfortable to get rid of people because they're offended or whatever, so I figured it would be easier if there was a day on which everyone did this at once, and you unfriend the people that you aren't really friends with, people you don't want to hear from. Even people that you are friends with who you find annoying should be kicked off your
sure,
list.
Sure, I agree.
Your parents should be off your list.
Your parents should never be on your list.
I think your parents are going to ruin Facebook because, I mean, it's not as much fun when your aunt and your parents are looking at the drunk things you're doing to your pets, you know?
Yeah, well, definitely. They should not be allowed.
I don't even want to know about that. Jim, what is there a rule of thumb on what the optimum number of friends should be? And let me preface my question by saying people do set it up so that they don't have every single thing from somebody else's feed getting on their wall all the time. You know, there are ways to manage it so you don't have to deal with too much information. But what's an optimal number for most people, do you think?
Hold on. I'm still reeling from you saying you don't want to hear about doing drunk things to your pet.
You know I don't.
I do. For me. I would like to hear that.
The optimal number, I don't know. If you want to be very relaxed about who you call your friends and you take family members into account that you want to keep on the list, I think 50 is a good number.
That seems like, I mean, look, I'm not even on Facebook, so I'm the last person who ought to be in this conversation. But 50 seems like barely worth being on Facebook for. Isn't the reason people have Facebook is because there are lots of people they want to keep in contact with but don't know well enough to spend time with them in person?
I don't know, Bean. I don't really give a crap about any of this. I'm just trying to get something going on this.
I hear you. I'm with you. But see, you're talking to the wrong person, Jimmy, because that's the only way Bean interacts with people is online.
Right. Well, I think everyone's probably got their own number. Yeah. I just think whatever your number is, it's probably too high.
It's padded.
Cut back.
Everybody has a padded number, and stop it.
And people are going to, because they think it's funny, Jimmy, they're going to unfriend you. How do you deal with that when people you know and like say, oh, that's it, I'm taking your advice and cutting you out?
You mean me personally? I don't have Facebook, so it's not a problem.
Nice. You'd be fine with it?
But I think that if people, for whatever reason, I don't think you're going to unfriend somebody if you really like them, you really want to. Maybe you do it for a day and then you come back. But if someone unfriends you today, you should take that. That should be a sign to you that you're annoying.
You're uninteresting. You're annoying in some way. And by the way, this is a good way to do it, too, because you could say to people, it's National Unfriend Day. I unfriended everybody.
Right.
And then you just, you didn't, though. You didn't.
On Thanksgiving, some people are like, oh, my God, why did you behead and roast that turkey?
Right.
And you go, oh, well, it's Thanksgiving.
So this is the sacrificial day. This is the day you've chosen to sacrifice friends that aren't friends.
Exactly. Well, it's not a sacrifice. If you're not, you really, it's, I just think that, I said last night, it's like cleaning the hair out of your shower drain.
Yeah.
And then you see all the water go down, and I guarantee you everyone has at least one, if not 100 people, that they just would rather not hear from again in any way. They don't want to see their pictures of their babies or their animals with bows on their hair or any of that stuff.
And listen to Jimmy Kimmel. No one knows more about cleaning hair out of a shower drain than Jimmy Kimmel,
right?
The guy knows what he's talking about.
You're right.
That is true.
Not just an analogy.
Of course, you had the classic war song. I know you had a new duet this year that you had some high-profile stars doing for National Unfriend Day. Anything special tonight on the show on the actual holiday, Jimmy?
We do. It's supposed to be a surprise, but I'll tell you what it is anyway.
Right.
Biz Markie is going to sing a version of let's see if you can guess which of his hits.
His hit, Just Unfriend. I can't wait. That's awesome.
Biz Markie, Jimmy's bringing back.
That is going to be tonight, just after midnight on ABC. Peter Facinelli from the Twilight Saga movie, also Jamie Oliver, and musical guest Vince Gill. That's all on Jimmy. So, Jimmy, we don't get to talk to you often enough. I know you're very busy with your Muppets.
I appreciate that. I do. I really do.
You do. But I'm just saying we miss you, and you're always welcome. And thanks for carving out some time for us today on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hey, one last thing, Jim.
Yeah.
When you have Frida Pinto on, can you hook me up?
Well, we had her on last week.
Oh, that was last week.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, I'm sure she'd love to have sex with you, though.
Okay,
yeah?
Good. I'm glad to hear that. Thank you, Jimmy.
<All right>.
106.7 K-Rock. It's KROQ, and it is 7:30.
Love the end of that song.
I don't know if it's happening in your end or not, Ralph. But Kevin will not stop. Kevin will not stop singing One Solo Cup.
Oh yeah, trust me, he's in for a beating tonight. He's in for a beating tonight at the San Manuel Indian Bingo
Red
Casino.
Solo Cup. I told Ralph I was going to have the casino play that song on a loop throughout the entire tournament.
Be like Guantanamo Bay. Might as well just waterboard me.
You are getting, we're hearing from a lot of listeners through the Kevin Bean Twitter and Facebook page who say, damn you, Ralph, for putting that song in my head because I can't stop singing it.
Yes, they're saying, could you please play some Chacarone or something to wash that out of my brain? So I wish we had something for you, but
good times. All right, Ralph is here. It is time for one final look at the Showbiz Beat on a Thursday Kevin Bean show. What are you talking about?
Me. Talking about me.
Okay.
First, I want to say thank you to all the listeners for all the wonderful birthday wishes from emails and tweets and everything. People have just been so kind this morning. It's really touched me. So I just want to say thank you. I appreciate that.
Considering what a hateful person you are.
I know. How much love I get back. How much hate I put out in the world, how much love I get back. It never ceases to confound and amaze me.
And they love you, and you hate them. It's weird.
I don't hate them. They know I love them. That's why they love me back. I hate many things, but I love them.
What about
that? Especially listener Marilyn.
Is that right?
Oh, for that picture this morning. Oh, that was quite the birthday gift.
That's a little something special, yeah.
Secondly, I want to apologize. I feel so bad, but it's not my fault. It's Dave's fault, who gave me this long list of celebrity birthdays.
Yeah.
And left off of it my buddy Stephen Root, who is, of course, you know him from Office Space. He played Milton in Office Space, legendarily. He was Jimmy James on News Radio, played the boss at the News Radio. And he's on Family Guy all the time. I run to him over there. And he also was in Red State, played the sheriff in Red State.
You should know better than to trust King of Mexico with the birthdays.
It turns out it's Steven's birthday today, too. And I feel bad because I just found that out, and I did not mention it all morning.
Well,
so
you've been hogging all the birthday glory.
I wanted to give him some birthday love because he's a great guy. So there, we've got all that handled. Now let's move on and talk about the showbiz news. Oh, no. No. No, please, I beg you.
A little Red Solo Cup.
I'm begging you. No, please.
Now, Red Solo Cup is the best receptacle for barbecues, tailgates, fairs, and festivals. And you, sir, do not have a pair of testicles if you prefer drinking from glass.
F you. They forgot that chorus in the song. I drink out of glass like a civilized human being. I don't have testicles. F you and your trucker hat wearing country music playing ass.
You love it.
For a day, it's my birthday. It's not turning out well with the Red Solo Cup, first of all. And then the news breaks that Chelsea Handler has renewed her deal with E! I don't know if you saw this news or not. A two-year deal for her her craptastic show on E! $25 million they're giving her.
No! Oh, God! Oh, God! Oh, God! Oh, God!
Seriously, though.
Yeah.
But seriously.
You know that little public access show she does on E! Late at night?
Yes.
Yeah. They're renewing her deal for 2 years for $25 million.
American dollars.
That's American money.
What?
Spending money.
That's right. It's folding cash right there. That's
wow.
It is. Yeah.
Wow.
She was so thrilled with the news that she gave everyone, her staff, $1,000. Oh, really? Out of the $25 million, you gave everybody a foul, did you? What a sport. Apparently, women 18 to 34, whatever that demo is, just huge numbers for that show.
Really? They eat it up, huh?
I guess it's because she's the only woman in late night, I guess. There's no other reason to watch.
There's not even that reason.
That's true. She's barely a woman. She's certainly not funny.
Women are good for nothing, aren't they?
Yeah, you got that right.
So that happened.
All right.
But the good news is, we're officially received word today that Ricky Gervais will indeed be returning to host the Golden Globes.
Fantastic.
On January the 15th.
He's great because he actually makes fun of the celebrities to their faces.
Yes. And he drinks and they drink and it all becomes a high time for all.
What was it he said about Mel Gibson? It's like, I like a good drink as much as the next man. Unless
the next man is Mel Gibson. Yeah.
And then Mel Gibson comes out.
That was
great.
I've had a couple. I'm not going to lie to you. Now listen up. I haven't offended anyone. I didn't mean, it's not my fault. It's a lot of powerful people here, so if I said, it's... Honestly, I like a drink as much as the next man. Unless the next man is Mel Gibson.
There you go.
That's what
and didn't they empowered him by all the controversy that happened last year, and then they're inviting him back. It's almost like they're poking him with a stick and going, what else you got?
Yeah. I'm trying to remember which one of my friends said this, but he said, the Golden Globes is Charlie Brown, and Ricky Gervais is Lucy holding the football.
Yeah.
That's what he said. That's really what it is.
They make it good ratings because of him or whatever. I mean, he's funny to me.
I think it's a smart choice on their part because it will make for people tuning in just to watch what's going to happen will be a large part of the audience.
I'm excited. That's for sure. I'm more excited about him doing the Golden Globes than I am Billy Crystal doing the Oscars. I'll tell you that.
I think Billy's going to do a great job at the Oscars, too. I'm glad they're doing that. Also, we've got his new show coming out on HBO, I think, beginning of next year, too. Life's Too Short. Ricky Gervais.
About, I don't know about that one.
About a midget played by Warwick Davis, or little person, if you will, who runs an agency. Theatrical agency represents actors.
Yes.
And the clips I've seen coming out of the UK, apparently it's all already on over there. It's all these meetings Ricky Gervais and his partner Stephen Merchant have with Warwick Davis and his clients, and he keeps bringing people in, like Liam Neeson, who says he wants to do comedy, and he starts talking about, the reason Steven Spielberg gave me Schindler's List, because I make a lot of lists, and here's a list of things I want to do. And, and Johnny Depp talks about the Golden Globes in one of the clips. It looks hilarious.
He's great.
You want to see another Friday movie?
It's Friday.
No, that's a song.
Yes, I do. I love that series.
Ice Cube, Chris Tucker. You may remember the first three films. We had Friday, Next Friday, and then the Friday After Next.
And what comes after that?
Saturday.
Yeah.
Ice Cube is in talks to write, produce, and star in yet another Friday film. And TMZ is reporting that Chris Tucker, who only did the first film, might actually come back in the fourth in the series to play his classic character Smokey in that film. So
now that he needs the money.
Yes.
And Chris Tucker, right? He's broke.
His career needs a little boot, so we'll have to wait and see.
Genius!
Ow! Your sound clips are a little loud.
That was today.
Wow!
A
little
loud.
And Michael Jackson's brothers are upset. Marlo? Nope, that's not a brother.
Marlon? Kind of a mixture of some of them.
Well, it says here on the list of names, Marlon, Tito, and Jackie, and I went for Marlo. I was pushing Tito and Marlon into one brother.
Genius!
Marlon, Tito, and Jackie Jackson. I didn't even know there was a Jackie Jackson, by the way.
Is there a Jackie?
There's a Jackie. Apparently there's a Jackie.
She does weather on Channel 9.
I don't think she's one of the Jacksons.
The same person.
They had a deal with a guy to autograph thousands of replicas of Michael's leather jacket from his Thriller and Beat It videos.
Wait, who's going to sign him?
Marlon, Tito, Jackie.
Why?
Are going to autograph replicas of Michael's leather jacket.
That's the worst idea ever.
That's a terrible idea.
This is our business model. this should reap some rewards.
This is one that Michael didn't ever use because
right.
It's a replica.
Not his jacket.
Okay.
Not his signature.
All right.
The brother of the guy who wore not that jacket, but one that looked like it,
right,
was signing them and selling them.
That's a terrible idea.
Michael wasn't even talking to those brothers back when he was making the Thriller music and videos.
Right.
All right, so what's the problem?
The brothers thought they'd be paid $100,000 each for their signatures immediately. The guy who put the deal together said, we're going to have to wait and see how those jackets sell before
test the market.
We give you your end of the profits.
That's a terrible idea.
Now, keep in mind, Amazon.com was selling the jackets at a very reasonable $2,350 each.
Wow. How many did they sell?
None.
Oh, okay.
And now the Jacksons want their money. And the guy's saying, we didn't sell any jackets, fellas. And they said, we don't care. We're Marlo, Johnny, and Taco. And we want our money.
Taco was a Jackson?
He was. Putting on the hits. Woo.
That is a terrible idea. One of your worst.
Before I get to celebrity birthdays, I do want to give out copies of Super 8, the new movie by J.J. Abrams. Not the new movie, but it was recently in theaters. It is the Blu-ray DVD combo pack. It is a great film. I recommend it highly. I think you'll enjoy it if you're one of our winners. I will also throw in a Fandango gift card, Fandango.com, where you can find showtimes and theaters playing your favorite movies and buy your tickets online at Fandango.com. First five callers, 1-800-520-1067. First five callers will get the Blu-ray DVD combo pack of Super 8 and the Fandango gift card. So call them in. First five callers at 20 through 24. No. Let's go with the first five callers. Caller first will be...
Callers
first. Today's celebrity birthdays, Gordon Lightfoot, Martin Scorsese, Lorne Michaels, Danny DeVito, RuPaul, Dylan Walsh, Sophie Marceau, Ronnie DeVoe of Belle Biv DeVoe, Leslie Bibb, Rachel McAdams, Isaac Hanson of The
Keep
Hanson.
Keep up on the bell!
And Stephen Root, as I mentioned, also celebrates his birthday. Along with me today, I'm Ralph Garman.
It's Bobby!
And Bobby celebrates his birthday. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. Tomorrow morning, an all-new Kevin and Bean show. We've got comedian Jim Jefferies in the studio. Very, very funny.
Leave your bananas at home, people.
We have Cousin Sal on the program giving us his NFL picks.
Genius.
We have... a little low again. Low. Bring it up a bit. We
genius.
Have, a little more high.
Got, genius.
All right, good. We have Kevin Smith and Jason Mewes coming in the studio. I need a horn. I don't have a horn. And the movie beat.
As it is.
As it is. Friday.
Wow.
Oh, they
we're
have
now
to fire
just doing
now,
the
right?
show for us.
They have to fire us.